How's it going?
Pretty all right. What's up?
Had a weird dream.
Yeah, what was your weird dream?
I went to one of those haunts that, like, you know, they make up like a scary warehouse to scare you. Mm. But it turned out it was like real, in that a man, not unlike the man on fire from MGS5, was hunting down people and killing us for real.
Uh-huh.
And I got really, really stressed out and I was running. But thankfully, I looked down at my arm and I noticed I had cool tattoos in this dream.
Uh-huh.
And they were of Bowsette. Dream over. I think I came out of the other side with a win there.
If you died in real life, did you die in the game?
No.
Okay.
If it means something, get it inked.
I mean, maybe this is a sign.
Live that life.
One thing is for sure, I'll be like 80 and I'll look down and I'll be like, still like, hell yeah. That's not something you regret.
That's evergreen.
I'm like, the middle of my back is still
yours
healing.
Too.
It's still healing right now.
Can't regret that.
But like, when you said middle, do you mean like the spine part?
No. We had a new session and I covered over the, it is my spine, but it's like the center part. But yeah,
you know,
dude.
The toughest part.
Fucking, yeah. Commit.
I actually think it's like, there's nothing I like that much. And while Bowsette has calmed down, I think last podcast we said it's not so much calmed down in that it's just people have moved on to longer form Bowsette projects now.
Like
the Undertale, like there,
I mean, yes, there's that. There's
Bowsette
that.
Is coming.
But on the, but in
like
on the,
games.
But on in the general concept of Ink, at first thought, I'd be like, it's the weirdest thing that Matt doesn't have any. But then second, it's like, no, because you're not. Matt's not actually on the edge, but he's the number one Edge fan.
Yeah.
You're admiring
I'm on
the Edge
sidelines, cheering it.
You're
on.
The number one fan
go
of the Edge.
Go
yeah,
it.
You've got
you
the big hand and the big finger, and you got the popcorn, and you're
I'm
in there.
I'm always edging closer to the edge, but. I always take
there
one
you go.
Step back.
And when you think, oh, but what about Matt's putting on like Edge clothing and whatnot? It's like, no, you're putting on like the jersey of the team almost. You're it's like fan wear.
Instead of
you
the
know?
New Jersey Devils, it's the fucking fucking Sacramento Edge. I don't know.
Cool.
Edge admiration. It's a
I
very
mean,
different
Edgelords,
position.
Thank you,
Edgelords
everyone.
Is a fantastic name for any sports team. Like that's easy.
Anything Lords is a fucking great.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, I've made it a consistent naming convention across all mediums. Because just throw the word Lords onto something and it gets awesome right away.
The closest I ever got to,
and
like,
no one's pushing Lords ever.
Yeah. The closest I ever got to, like, oh, man, I could get that when I become cool and grown up was, like, Chester's arm sleeves that were fire.
The fake ones, yeah.
No, they weren't fake. They're real. Chester from Linkin Park.
They weren't real fire.
Okay.
Well, no, they weren't real fire, but there are tattoos of fire. I'm like, that looks cool. But then I instantly was like, it hurts though, so I'm going to run away from this dream.
This might be slightly inside, but I hope it's not as inside to many of our listeners as I would think it is. But everyone at this table is familiar with Mr. Cool Ice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? He's awesome. Like,
recently.
He's gotten
awesome
even better.
Back then, but now it's like way better.
He has matured into a stronger, leaner Mr. Cool Ice with even more. Like,
and they did some fun stuff with what was existing and just kind of expand. Like, there's DLC for his gimmick.
He's
on his body.
He's upgrading.
I like it.
He's becoming Ice Lord.
I remember you and me were talking once, Wooly, and we found out that it was a German guy, and for some reason that all made it all make sense.
Completely. Because there's an aspect.
I figured he was.
Because you're just like, why would this weird, like, shirtless white guy just be like, yeah, I love cool ice. And then you just put an accent on it and you're like, oh my god,
Mr. Cool Ice.
Yeah, the foreign part of it makes it make so much sense. It's this, like, it's a language that you have not 100% familiarity with.
You can imagine him doing like a video blog where he's like, okay, that's the tour of my house and Mr. Cool Ice, Avida Zane.
Mr. Cool
Ice. And he just like does like a gang sign.
Yeah, good. Just cool ice. Yeah.
Someone should get a tattoo of Mr. Cool Ice, of the guy.
Yeah.
Like,
please do.
Like the style of like Steve-O's head on the back of his head, but instead it's like a
it's
photo
him,
of
it's
Mr.
Him
cool
flexing.
Ice on your back.
Yeah.
Tattoos are DLC for your body. That's
another
pretty good.
Tattoo no one will regret. Someone will look down at their own chest and be like, fuck yeah.
See, the thing is that I can't stand the idea of having a tattoo. And part of that reason is my own self-knowledge that I would get... I'm the type of person who would think it would be really funny to get Mr. Cool Eyes tattooed on my back. And I would think it was really, really, really funny for a while.
No.
And then it would be a huge mistake.
If you can't think 50 years ahead or however your life expectancy is of like... Will I look down on this and be like, fuck yeah, I'll be out of this, like, going, oh, no.
But I remember back in the day when you were like, you think, like, tattoos are gross.
Yeah, I mellowed out a little bit on it.
You used to be like, oh, barf, if I see one, they're the worst, grossest thing ever.
They are, like...
Has that changed?
Inherently, like, awful to think about because needles and your own isms,
yes.
Yeah.
But beyond that, the concept of art on your skin.
The problem is that create a wrestler and create a character makes me always think it like tattoos always look great on the people that would have tattoos.
Yeah.
Meaning like if you're making a cool call or whatever, your character's almost always like built or tall or like muscular or like powerful looking. You're like, fuck yeah. And that's great. But like the average person, it's like someone wants to do something on their arm and they're just like a regular Joe Schmo. You're like, eh.
Yeah. So like everyone, people like, think of
more power to them.
When
but
people
still.
Like to think about tattoos, they think of, oh, look at that cool, like buff Yakuza man with the giant dragon on his back. That's rad. Look at that stripper with the cool thing going down like her
angel
her
wings.
Side or
angel
whatever.
Wings on
but
her
what
back.
They don't think about is that fucking guy who got like the Goof Troop logo tattooed on his forehead.
Of course.
Right? That's what I think about.
Of course. But it can be anything
but
on anybody.
That YouTube guy loves it and will love it.
And it means something to him.
Yeah.
It reminds him to stand out.
If you tattoo on your back a big picture of Goofy and he's saying, "Duh, I fucked something."
Yeah.
That is also a non-regrettable thing. Oh yeah, I haven't even studied.
I've been studying. Someone sent the tweet.
You need like an air pocket.
You put the air pocket in one side. It's like you squeeze out the air to get the dog.
Thanks. So, that context was incredibly important.
It's gonna take efforts, but.
That sounded like Wooly was like practicing his fucking dick noises.
In Kingdom Hearts, I was pontificating, how do you actually
make
do that
this noise?
Like, it doesn't sound like the human vocal.
I got one out there when I tried it, but you have to do it with the pocket of air in your beard.
I figured
cheeks.
The people
it's fucking hard.
Donald Duck's voice just sound like that, and they're broken.
No, well, the guy on Twitter we were talking to, he was like, I was just as a kid, I'm like, I could do it. I just knew how to do it. Where I go, I hear voices, certain voices. I'm like, oh, I know how that's done.
Yeah.
Like, I can make
that. Just pitch your voice up or go.
Or whatever. Yeah. But Donald Duck has always been like this fascinating.
You need to stop. That might be.
Because you're just making gross
yes,
sex noises
yes.
and not actually.
No,
talking.
No. But that's
it
the best.
Sounds like
that's,
you're
that's the method.
Yeah. It sounds
that's
like
process.
You're sucking the tiniest dick in the world.
Mm.
Like a world's smallest violin sized pencil dick. It's so vivid. That noise is so bad.
As opposed to chewing bagels?
What's wrong with a bagel?
Everybody was mad about the bagel.
Everybody loves a bagel.
Everybody was mad about the bagel.
No, no one was mad. There was that one guy who said that I ruined the episode for him, and I was like, thank you.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying you can't call it out with the bagels.
Everybody loves a bagel.
You can't call it out.
If you don't love bagels, you're crazy.
Did you see that they edited the...
sure did.
Yeah. There was a bagel emoji, and then everyone said, get this shit out of here. Mm. It's a dry bagel. And put cream cheese on that shit. And then they literally erased and edited the bagel to have cream cheese on it. Because everyone was so mad.
Oh, man.
This is what we're getting mad about nowadays.
Yeah, well.
Well.
There's... When you're moving from, like... something real to get pissed off about, and then you need your downtime. You need your cool off. You need
your cool eyes.
You need your Mr. Cool
I mean,
ice
you could
level
either,
piss off.
You can either get mad about that, or try and go, or you can walk outside and try yelling at a giant forest fire and see what helps.
Hey,
like,
you!
That's not gonna, you know.
I mean,
you're not gonna
Black
get anywhere.
Bolt could do it.
He could.
Yeah, he could accidentally cough and vaporize his parents in what might be the lamest shot I've ever seen.
No, but like, no, just like calm down the force. But there's a couple superheroes where I'm like, you could be really, really useful if you were real, sir. And then there's a couple
like
where
their
I'm
real
like,
life scenario, like Goku. What's Goku?
Like Sauron.
What?
Yes, like Sauron. Sorry, there's several characters.
The dinosaur
nowadays.
Man?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever seen... We must have told you about the moment.
You could use this dinosaur shit to cure cancer in like a second, dude, but I don't want to do that. I want to turn people into dinosaurs.
I've always been fascinated as to why Spider-Man was fighting Sauron, of all people. It's not like
Isn't
a regular...
Isn't he from the Savage Land?
He's from the Savage...
He's an X-Men.
The Savage Lands.
Villain, primarily.
He is... But
he's a weird professor that turned himself into a pterodactyl guy.
And decided, yeah.
It's just basically the lizard.
Yeah, but savage.
It's a cool thing to be fighting on the cover of a comic. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that he actually took his name, like, in the comics? He was like, I will name myself after J.R. Tolkien's horrible monster.
Awesome. I didn't realize that.
Like, they might have, like, retconned it since, but I remember seeing a panel where he's like, this literary masterwork which shall not be named.
There you go.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I'm pretty sure it's also because the pterodactyl is a natural predator of the spider.
Yeah.
Yes. As all Spider-Man
villains.
Much like
the goblin.
And the symbiotes.
And
exactly.
And the water.
And sand.
Yes, sand.
The ultimate.
The spider's natural enemy.
Hates it. Hates it.
So that tweet's pretty funny, but the funniest thing about it is the very last word where it's like it lists everything and then it just says period. Then it says everything. Anyway.
What is going on in your respective weeks, gentlemen?
Hey, let's all just, I'm sure, Castlevania Season 2.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Oh, yeah, you guys are.
Assuming you finished. You had one more episode to go.
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but that's the last thing you said.
It's really, really, really good.
It's fantastic.
It's so much better. Like, not that the first season was bad, but it had so little going on comparatively to this because it was just like long, drunken scenes of Trevor doing things that kind of went.
Oh, I hate being a Belmont.
But I love getting all these cool fighting skills, but I hate the Belmonts.
It was quite clearly a chapter zero.
Yeah.
And it was showing you that. It didn't mind taking its time to build the world. Yeah.
It didn't, but then the rest, the season two is like just fast-paced shit happening all the time and like a nice...
Depending on where the camera is.
Yeah, so we were saying this yesterday, depending on whether we're following the villains, yay, or the heroes.
Boo! Yeah.
It's not a boo.
It's not a boo.
It's more like a,
I enjoyed
It's like, Alucard, shut up, I want to go back to talking to Hector.
No, I enjoyed their antics, but I appreciated absolutely that they had nothing to do but flip through books. For like five scenes.
It's probably the most interesting when someone has ever been like, let's have our heroes just in a library reading books for like three episodes. And it still was really entertaining.
There's something I really like about it is like every gang of heroes or whatever has the nerd, has the character that would actually go to the library and do the thing.
Yeah.
Now, occasionally in a story, you'll have, okay, all of you guys look through the books too. And then they'll have the shot where the one like, oh, I found the thing that you look, whatever.
Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar does that, right? But here it's like, hey, you two are stupid as fuck. I'm just going to read these books. All you're here to do is hand me books.
So this is something that I've noticed. It's becoming a problem in like stories now, but it's only popping up ever since like modern long form narrative stories or shows are starting to happen more frequently, mm-hmm. But it's a thing where you have multiple parties to follow and one party just doesn't have enough to swap back and forth. And sometimes you'll swap from the same party to the same party again, right?
Game of Thrones.
So Game of Thrones is the one we talked about a while ago. Other shows have started having that issue as well. Westworld Season 2 has started having that problem big heavy mm-hmm. when you're like, you're jumping around between like three or four different groups of people, but there's definitely times when they're not all on the same, they're not on symmetrical beats, you know? Yeah. So you're jumping back to a group that has nothing to do but cross a desert.
The first couple, like I want to say maybe 2 to 3 seasons, maybe just 2 of Game of Thrones, it wasn't really a problem. But as more people dropped out of the show, there was more emphasis placed on a group that never had that much going on to begin with.
As the circles, the concentric circles get tighter yeah, and tighter, yeah. right? You have to jump back and forth until you're eventually doing 3 cuts to the same people.
I will use an example we are all familiar with, which is Naruto, as the worst example I can think of this ever, because manga doesn't care. Manga will just drop a character for, like, books and go back, oh yeah, this is what they were doing. But in the fucking broadcast version of when Orochimaru is fighting the fucking third Hokage, he gets him in that soul bullshit, mm-hmm. and they go, oh no, we're struggling, who will win? Whoever wins will mm-hmm. not die. Mm-hmm. And then there are, like, 20 chapters worth of what Naruto and the other gang are doing. Mm-hmm. But in broadcast, you can't go 20 weeks mm-hmm. without showing what is happening. So you keep cutting back every episode to the old man and the snake dude
staring at each other,
going, oh, no, in but this tug of war.
But that's not a Naruto, that's a Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
just what?
That's anime pacing where.
What's happening with those guys? Nothing.
Yeah, we learned very quickly that something that your eyeball scans past in seconds takes a while for a voice actor to say.
Yeah.
And in the. And JoJo as well, where you're like in midair, yeah. full constructed thoughts.
I have.
are being like, you
I,
know.
I will have more to talk monologued. About anime time in a slight moment.
Sure you yeah, will. And I'll have a better example of this bad, like, yeah. not enough to show thing.
The worst example I know well. Of is in that really bad filler arc of Kenshin after, like, the cool arc. Where Kenshin gets his eyes taken away, gets them put back, travels. Like, and then at the start of this, Samunosuke is trapped in a cave and he's punching out dogs.
Always punching the dogs.
And then Kenshin goes from, like, travels across Japan, and then other characters doing this. And then when it cuts back to Samunosuke 6 episodes later, he's in mid-combo of punching the dogs you originally saw 6 episodes ago. And even back then, when I was, like, whatever, like 17 watching this, I was like, this is horseshit. This is really bad. Mm-hmm. And that's when I stopped caring about Kenshin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Back then.
So, I mean, I guess I'll just tag in since we're on the topic, but this week, I went through the final season of House of Cards.
Uh-huh.
And that, to me, is one of the new worst examples of we don't have enough content.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that kind of type of drama to have that specific problem.
Well, they had to kind of
cut it.
Throw together a final season, I mean, very quickly.
Yeah.
Thank God they said, this is the final season. We can't do more than this.
I mean, they did, right? And so you're going in and you're like, all right, this is unideal circumstances to have to write a story.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have to take that into account, but I'm going to, right? Because you just want it to be in a vacuum mm-hmm. Of its own quality without external factors. But at the end of the day, like, oh man, they did what they could with what they had, but boy, does it become a parody of itself by the end.
I watched the trailer for the season. I was like, this looks cool, but I kind of got the feeling that, yeah, it was slapdash.
I've asked this question before, but I kind of want to get the answer every time we run into this. Would you rather something not conclusively end or for it to end badly?
I'd rather it end. I don't even think you're saying this is bad this season, right? Is that correct?
Hold on, because I talked about this not barely a month ago or so with Vagabond,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it just trails into nothing
mm-hmm.
is super painful.
Yeah.
So I think I would rather get a conclusion.
Did anybody here watch the newish Battlestar Galactica?
Some episodes, but
okay,
because yeah,
that ends like astonishingly badly. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. like it like retroactively fucks up like a whole season. Like it ends bad.
To be perfectly honest, I feel like most people would say let it end because I think as human beings we desire closure. Completely. We desire
yeah.
the ability to put something and file it away because we're great at categorization. And when something is loose-ended and you have questions, that the questions unanswered is a way worse feeling.
You don't want to put that folder away in the unsolved mysteries folder.
It's so much more
front. Well, I guess we'll never know
why that happened or how they got out of that situation versus they did it in a really stupid way.
They all got sick and died.
Yeah.
Done.
Even like, because the answer to a how do you get out of this one being they didn't know and they wrote a really bad, stupid explanation for it is still an answer.
Yeah.
So House of Cards, final season, it's not great. It's the weakest easily.
Yeah.
It's basically becoming parody of itself because it feels as if what they did was they kind of, as the show went on over the seasons, I mean, the original the British show ended after three, right? So they kind of pulled...
As most British shows do.
They pulled an office here, and they kind of let it become its own thing and kept it going. And for the most part, you're able to buy into it because every time something really insane happens, they would spend a lot of time dealing with the aftermath, right?
Yeah.
So they would ramp up something nutty... And then you'd go like, that's what? You can't, what? Right?
I watched the first two seasons, but never got around to more.
So they'll do something, right? Like someone will die. Mm. And you're like, that's crazy. And then they'll spend an entire season or two figuring out how to handle the results of that. Mm-hmm. The aftermath, you know? And you go, okay, yeah, that's as big of a deal as it should have been. Therefore, I can buy into this while the rest of
sometimes a lot of deaths are like, that sucks. But, and that was because that actor wanted more money and they don't spend time, like, you know, properly
explaining
it.
Yeah.
So, but this is like, actually, let's make this death really meaningful and like, yeah, have to deal with the aftermath of it, which is very rare.
And you know, we're kind of used to a certain thing where like on TV shows, like, or in movies in general, a lot of insane shit will happen in a way where you're like, why do the police just not exist in this world? Why are gunshots like continuously being fired over the course of 10 minutes and no one is showing up? You know, like, fuck, like, John Wick is great, but, like, don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, this hotel just has gunshots 24/7. Should anyone...
Nope,
they
no one's
them
calling
all off,
in.
Man, with
them
all the Assassin off. Guild.
You know what? John Wick has this... John Wick's entire world has plot armor.
Yep. There's a specific Assassin Guild bullet sound that people know when they hear that type. Oh, don't call the cops. Those are not normal shots being fired.
Just give those cops weird gold doubloons.
So I
completely forgot about the weird gold doubloons.
That's how
that,
we do
that
it.
That shit is super dumb.
But, you know, it works.
Yeah. But you know, so this kind of goes off in such a way where it takes all of the biggest, craziest twists and points and whatnot, and it starts throwing them at you at the end of almost every episode. Mm-hmm. So it just turns into a parody soap opera version of itself.
Does it become almost like a Hindi sort of soap opera where it's probably not as like in your face, but there's so many moments that you feel the camera wants to zoom in and spin around everything someone says?
So I'm going to say that 6 out of 8 episodes end with the final shot being like Claire Underwood just staring at the camera being like, and then you zoom out and some stupid shit is happening.
Okay.
Or like one of those like, oh, you didn't see this thing coming, right? Mm. Like it's such a – it's and it's like – those moments would happen after a build-up in the original show, and here they're like, every single episode is gonna end on a punch. Oh.
And you're saying 6 out of 8?
Almost every episode of the final season has a big, like,
you have to
boom.
End. You have to
wait,
end
this
on a zinger,
only
man.
8 episodes.
Not 13.
So it's even less. So when you're like, oh, they're stretched for material, but they're like, that's...
cutting it short.
Yeah.
Mm. And, then you kind of get – so you get these big like pop-off finishers, but the rest of the episodes are following three parties around that don't have enough to do. So we're just kind of cutting back and forth to the same three or four rooms.
Talking about like who broke the coffee machine, stuff like that.
And like everyone is just like people that are like – at each other's throats or just have – they have to be able to casually converse with each other. People that shouldn't – like the bad guy should not have White House clearance to walk into the White House and or be like – or like ambush the president, You know what I mean?
How'd you get into Olympus?
How'd you get into the fucking Oval Office to ambush me in a way that's like, oh, I'm here to sass you. Yeah. But it's like, you're the fucking president. You know? Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Like, you have...
Why is everyone getting a go at me?
I need to ask whether or not there's a plot twist that they were all lizards all along.
I doubt it.
So, you get this whole thing that builds up, and then... as you're going through it, you're like, man, this is getting really fucking wacko. But hey, if you're going somewhere with it, we'll buy in, right? I'll buy in, and then you can have my chips. And it fucking just gets to its final moments, and you're like, you're looking at the clock like, oh no, there's not enough time to wrap this up.
Oh man.
Oh no.
You're just pressing the next Netflix button to see the amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. You're looking around like, oh no, it's the clock's running out. You don't have enough time.
Matt, did you ever finish season 3 of Twin Peaks?
No.
Because what Wooly is describing, the final episode.
Oh no.
The final episode of Twin Peaks might be the worst example of that ever. In that you have about 100 questions, and you look at the timer, and you're like, there are 12 minutes remaining in this series.
I didn't even think about
and
that.
The characters are wordlessly driving somewhere on a highway for like 5 entire minutes.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're like, maybe but, it's genius because you're getting anxious. You're getting really anxious.
But at the end of the day, I know I'm watching a David Lynch thing, so I should go in never expecting to get an answer. But for a show like House of Cards, which is very like formulaic in terms of like American dramas, whatever, you know, just like, oh no, watch the next episode. Like, that shocks me that even a show like that, you're looking at the, you want to sacrifice more characters for time on the clock.
Yeah.
But you're not getting it.
And you just lay out like a bunch of impact shots that you're going to close out the episodes on.
Yeah.
And then nothing else. And then then you're like, oh no, there's 30 seconds left. And then you're like, you just didn't have an ending. You had nothing. And so it basically ends on not an ending. It could be, but it might as well also be a cliffhanger. It just stops.
Oh, great. I'm glad you took the time to rush out a final season to then also still end on a cliffhanger.
To the point where as soon as I hit it, and then Netflix zooms out and does the picture-in-picture, and you don't see a next episode, and then I go, these motherfuckers had the audacity to set themselves up for another season, and then you hit that wiki, and it's like, no, that was actually it.
That sucks.
And you're like, oh, this was a colossal waste of your time. Mm. It's really awful in the sense that, like, you have to decide between, hey, do you want to leave off? If you were enjoying House of Cards, do you want to leave off, or do you want to know what's going on, or do you want to know how they handle stuff? If you have any curiosity, like, go in and check it out, because they did some things that I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool, you know. There's a couple moments of like, that's an interesting way to play it, given that, you know, like, Kevin Spacey's fucking gone.
Yeah,
they make some interesting plays, like audibles, I'll say, on the field. But ultimately, fucking just woof, couldn't stick that landing.
I don't have much to say about it, like, cause yeah, I'll just say this quick thing. I have a strong recommend for you specifically. There's another Netflix show that just got added, 6 episodes, British, called The Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very good. Stars the actor that played Robb Stark.
Okay.
And he plays a bodyguard to a British politician. He was in the Iraq war, and so he is suffering from PTSD, and she has policies that he really doesn't agree with. But he's still a bodyguard first and foremost, so he does his job. And there's a huge, like, really interconnected plot, 6 episodes, but each one is like packed and like satisfying ending, doesn't fuck around. Every episode feels like really complete, and every episode feels really important and just like pretty fascinating. And like, again, British TV, I'm just kind of realizing like how, not like 100% success rate, but much higher, in that it's always better to write your story assuming you're not going to be a massive
to conclusion.
Hit.
Exactly. Yeah. No. But as far as British TV goes, I'm there's that, and Mothman turned me on to A Touch of Cloth, which is just, how do you write an entire cop drama around puns? and I want to find out more.
What?
It was like whatever this thing is, it's called A Touch of Cloth, and every clip from it has been just stupid and also hilarious. And British TV is like, God damn it, I wish I had like British Netflix, you know, to just go to that section when I'm in that mood.
Is that you would already be done with it?
Yeah, I guess so. There's that too. But I'd feel good about the completion of everything. Funny enough that you like Luther, we can say
Luther's in season 5, it's starting up or it's already started, and that show is like 10 years old or more now.
Yeah. Oh, right. But yes, by the people who made Black Mirror. Right. The guy. Okay. It's funny how we can say like Rob Stark and like, yet I know Kit Harington, but I can't possibly
his
for
name
the life
is
of me.
You know what his last name is?
No.
Rob Stark? Madden.
Really?
I think his name is Richard Madden, something like that.
You should call him up, be like, hey, cuz, are we related? Get me on the show.
But if I depends said Richard on how far Madden, back we go. Would be yeah. like, so that's why I
whatever,
said
if the there. Names get shared, it goes back at some point.
Of the boat Maddens or the pre-boat Maddens?
At some point.
there was no, I was going to say, like, I remember when I was watching Luther, too, like, it's like, 2 episodes, end of first season.
Yeah.
You know, that shit is ridiculous.
God damn. So
while it's in season 5, it's 3 seasons of content for the regular amount of consumption that we do for shows like
But if you end up feeling satisfied, can you really complain?
No.
If someone brings you out courses of meals that are all really small, but by the end you're like, I'm sated.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really going to complain about that? Nah. But yeah, House of Cards, waste of time.
Ow.
And
that might be the lowest possible score on the recommendation thing, which is just, it is a waste of time. You didn't even call it bad.
Yeah.
You just said it was a waste of time.
Well, that sounds like he's saying it's a 5 or a 6.
Oh, man.
I mean,
it's our ultimate waste
of time. But I will say that, like, okay, the feeling I got midway through season 2 of Westworld was like rolling my eyes like fucking this is painful to watch.
Yeah.
This had it going like this is painful, but it was like you could still take it somewhere if you have a plan.
No.
And it's only when that gets cut short that you go, "Oh my god," right? So ultimately, like, it's not as bad as that, but still a waste of time.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on how invested you were, right? So, I mean, I did that, and obviously I got my stream going, and an acceptable amount of balls were exposed.
I'm glad that you have fallen into the same traps as everybody else, which is... it is hard to figure out whether or not your audio is broadcasting sometimes.
Well, I was going to say, from the guy who texted me going, hey, you know you're muted, right? And then I fucking, like, tune in a day later and catch, oh, what? Your shit's not plugged in. And it's like, this happens to everybody.
Everybody. I should mention, I texted you, like... a while in. I waited.
Oh, yeah.
Intentionally waited. I'm like, this is pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's going to realize in a second.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, he's got the VR headset on. Mm-hmm. He's not going to look over and peek at the chat.
It's the hardest to do it if you're doing it
the
VR.
The VR foibles are a consistent thing. Liam had his, and I think his was the screen was just not at all broadcasting, and it's just the headset waving around like... It's a fucking mess.
The VR adds another wonderful dimension to the live broadcast.
I said last week, it's like, get ready for doing every single possible thing you can do to prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Multiple test runs for you to just not have it work.
I mean, I've had it to the point where it's like, oh, nothing's on.
Yeah.
I didn't turn any of the equipment on. I made sure it all worked, but I just didn't hit that button.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and you guys both have, like, again, occasional co-pilots to help you, like, point out something that the chat might mention or something that's going on that you probably should know right now.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, she's just over in the fucking corner studying and being like, whatever your dumb bullshit is.
You're playing your video games, honey!
Like, no,
having
but
fun with your dolls.
No, but almost like there, you know, and I'm like, look, like, by all means, like, if you happen to notice something, if you glance over and it's like it's awful, just kick me.
She
just, like,
your hair appears to be on fire.
I was about to say, she looks over, she's like, half the room that you're in is on fire, but because you had the VR helmet on.
Yes.
Someone has to have unfortunately died like that. They didn't know.
Nah, we would have heard about
it. Someone was in VR and then they just, something around them happened.
Something happened.
Wow, these gunshots feel really realistic.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Wow, I just created an actual nightmare in my own mind about putting on a VR headset and then people sneaking into your house and shooting you. Oh, now I'm terrified of VR. Great. Mm.
Yeah, well, it still sounds different. Like, there's something that, like, real gunfire doesn't sound like what you hear in movies and video games.
Yeah, but by the time you heard it, you've been shot.
There is that too. But anyway, so yeah, I ran that little stream, and after, I guess, I kind of just wanted to. I played a bit more Tetris Effect and tried to focus on, like, T-spinning stuff and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And had a good time with that. There is... Man.
Yeah.
Like, getting... Like, okay, getting, like, super good at Tetris, obviously, besides, like, memorizing how to drop things and just reacting to shapes and sizes and whatnot... You're memorizing formations in the way that you memorize chess formations.
Ugh.
Right, there's an aspect to this where you have to see a certain set of pieces coming and kind of memorize exactly what kind of blocks you want to make, and you know that you're going to get what you want within 7 blocks or so. But if you don't like that chess like skill aspect of it, where it's about just memorizing these setups,
planning's for nerds.
Yeah. That's going to be a part of it, you know? So there's a level there where you're like, oh, this is like, and it's the same with almost anything
you
skilled, right?
Just completely ruined Tetris for me.
Well, it's fighting games too, isn't it?
No.
But it is.
No.
But it is.
I play 100% by fucking emotion.
Right. But you could be better.
Yeah, I could.
And that's all it is. You can play.
If I decided to ruin fighting games for myself forever,
yeah.
I could be better.
But here's the thing. I'm not ruining Tetris for you. You can still play it by feel.
No.
But
no,
what I am,
it's ruined.
No, but you can.
You've killed Tetris.
Shut up. Everything you play and everything you experience, you can take it as far as you're comfortable with, right?
I'm not a nerd.
This is why Smash Brothers is a good game, regardless, and we can still enjoy it. But if you're not doing all the shit that Mango's doing, it's whether or not you care about that.
Oh, I thought you meant SNL Mango for 1 second. For 1 second, I thought you meant SNL.
I mean, I'm glad that your mind still remembers Mango, but...
I'm sorry that you ruined Tetris.
And there's this whole thing where you're like, okay, how much do you care about the fact that you're not doing this amazing thing you've seen somewhere, you know? And you know, like,
I'm getting used to it.
And that ultimately is like any game of skill, right? Any character action games, you're like, you're seeing what Sorry and Dash is doing and you're going like, oh, I'm not able to do that. Does that ruin the experience for you? Not necessarily.
No.
So yeah,
but Tetris is a puzzle game.
It is. And what this does is it kind of puts me in a place where it's like going, all right, fucker, do you want to spend the time?
That game might have – I checked out your stream, obviously, because I saw you were muted. About what's it, Tetris Effect, that's the name? That game might have the weirdest UI I've ever seen. The Tetris area of the screen is so small.
It's
so small.
It is, and I play zoomed out. Like – I play zoomed out because I love those effects, but yes, you can zoom it in.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, man, if you have a smaller TV or some shit, like it is minuscule. It's like 1/8 of the screen is the game.
You can absolutely tighten that up.
Because then you'll allow the real estate for all the cool effects.
Yeah.
That's why you hired the guy.
The birds that fucking fly in front of the well while you're playing, and you're like, I can't see my piece.
What is it?
Oh, that's great.
Is that an L or a reverse L? I can't... Mm.
And I did some other stuff that is going to be coming out soon, but it's not ready for public consumption.
So that means it's currently super secret?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one of you guys can take it.
All right. Hey, man, what up?
What up?
What up?
I played a couple things. The Steam version of Killer 7 came out last week. I was really, really like interested to see how that works. Something like mouse support on Killer 7, that should help immensely just aim, get the shots on the Heaven Smiles and that. And I was there for the announcement when Suda announced the Steam version of it, which is being published by NIS. So when that came out, I'm like, ooh, nice. It also comes on Steam with a bundle that has a digital art book and the full soundtrack. And Killer 7's soundtrack is a banger. So I'm like, oh, I'll try that out. In this version of Killer 7, you can just press one of the number keys.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 7 just to switch out to whoever you want at any time.
That seems like a marked improvement.
It is, because you're like, all you have to do is be like, Dan is 1, Kaede is 2, and Master Smith is 7. You're like, oh, this makes the game like so much faster.
What
so
if you're using a controller?
I didn't try it with the controller, so
reach
I don't know.
Reach over to the keyboard and press it.
I believe for the controller, you just press the inventory button, and then they bring up a list of them. Then you select each one manually and press it, but this is a little faster. So, yeah, it seemed like a really solid port. I was pretty happy with it. The mouse – I forgot that you can level up those characters waver because they all hold their guns kind of like this. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a little sucky for a mouse. Because
the cursor moves when idle.
It's got sway.
It's got sway, and that's something you level up. So
but take some diazepam.
Yeah, you think so. But yeah, I enjoyed that. I finished like the first like main full mission. So I was like, oh, this seems like a great port. The only problem is like, this is weird. Reload animations have to be 30 frames per second, but the rest of the game is 60 or above.
I hate that.
They're like, we tried to make it all on parity, but it actually fucked up the game by trying to stop the reload animations because they're canned little cutaways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. It really didn't bother me when I was playing it. Like, I didn't really notice. But other than that, it seemed really solid. I also gave Spyro Reignited a go.
You mean the newest in the Dark Souls franchise?
The newest in the Snoop Dogg franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd played Ripto's Rage a bit at a friend's house, like when that was out. And aside from that, it was Spyro's always a weird series where I'm like, Spyro seems neat. What a rambunctious character. And I never actually played them up until this point. And you're playing them now. And aside from them looking really, really, really good and controlling well, it's like, yeah, these are really basic platformers. And I didn't play the third one, so I don't know like how it evolved. But I enjoyed what was – I liked it a hell of a lot more than the Crash ones because I don't particularly enjoy Crash gameplay like at all. But I was enjoying this for what it is because like it's just a free-roaming 3D thing and it's cute.
Yeah, Crash, you look back on it now and it seems like hopelessly linear.
Yeah. And whereas this is like pretty open, right? I mean, it's like, you know, Mario 64 like. So
I saw some really awesome fan art of adult Spyro. That was super cool.
Because initially put out little like behind the scenes making ofs of this. And they're like, he went through so many designs. He was going to be a full fledged big adult dragon. And then they kept going, oh, shrink him down. They gave him a one voice actor and their feedback from was like, he's really annoying. And they redubbed him as another voice actor in the other game. So he went through a lot of iterations.
Is it the same voice as dum-de-dum?
It sounds like it, but I don't think it's the same guy.
No, okay. You know?
It's
Tricky?
It's like, I think it's like his first version was Tricky, and everyone's like, oh, he's super annoying and sounds like a brat. And like this, like when, I'm not sure if they re-recorded the dialogue, I'm assuming they did. And I'm like, hey, he's nice. He's like kind of like, you know, not too annoying. Like he's just like that Sonic type. But yeah, and enjoyed that. And I also played a horror game that I don't want to play again called Lost in Vivo. I know some people have been talking about it. It just came out like a few days ago. And probably the scariest thing I've played in a long time, especially since especially since the start of the game is because you lose your corgi down a sewer hole.
Oh,
that's dark.
I don't like
and
that.
And he's fine and he's kidnapped in the sewers so you can rescue him. But I played about 30 minutes and I was like, I'm stopping.
Is it first person?
It's first person, yeah. But unlike every first person horror game on Steam, you have a bevy of weapons, a sledgehammer, a knife, guns, and it's much more akin to Silent Hill than any first person game Like it has the same type of music. It has save points. It has maps you have to collect. And there's enemies that attack you. The only thing that's weird is that it has regenerating health.
That is weird. There's
no health pickups, or at least that I found. But it was absolutely terrifying and just incredible sound design. So there's that.
Does that game have a weird aesthetic? I think I might have seen it. It's, is it like Silent Hill 1 aesthetic?
It's better looking than Silent Hill 1. Like, it's better looking than a lot of PlayStation games, but it does go in for that aesthetic. Like, it looks better than those Puppet Combo Nun Massacres that we played during the shitstorm. Like, it looks better than that. It has some nicer lighting effects. And it's stuff that the PlayStation could not do, but well, yeah, it was still trying to go for that
look. You look back on the PS1, and boy, there was a lot it couldn't fucking do. Even compared to the two systems around it.
Yeah.
It couldn't render pixels in fucking 3D space properly.
And aside from that, I had a busy like week just working on future videos and stuff. And like a fighting game theme thing I want to do, where I review the intros of fighting games, because there's a couple of bangers that I have a personal like interest in. Toshinden, a couple
here, guys, obviously.
What's the best Virtual Fighter intro? The answer's 3.
Is it the only one that has one?
No, they all have those demo a track things.
Get down.
And it just has everyone doing their moves.
And they do the little,
Virtual Fighter 3 has all the CG where Jeffrey has stabbed a spear in the shark and is riding it. Jackie and Sarah are like being hunted down by the stupid organization. It's the only one that has a big, dumb intro.
I'll be real. I don't remember any intros.
I remember a bunch of
Five
like
has a really big dumb one that's just them doing moves, and it's
I don't even count that in my mind.
There's
that's
it's,
like
it's
the,
an character
like
standing alone on the demo on the stage, just punching and kicking and doing stuff, and then like a first person view, and then immediately my brain interrupts and goes diddler diddler.
Virtual Fighter 3, I was like, yeah, that's
Tekken 5 in there.
Tekken 5 would be in there, but I kind of forgot about now. Tekken 4 as well has actually a pretty dumb good one. Mm-hmm. Fighting game theater is something I kind of started up getting done this week.
My path is clearer with honest eyes.
Yeah. Oh.
With honest
and
eyes.
And of course, Soul Edge has to be
Well, that's
there.
Number one.
I mean,
one.
That is number one.
But it's not what I'm starting
Nothing's
with.
Nothing's going to beat that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's something fun I've been working on, so that's kind of me for the week.
All right, I got 3 things to talk about. Number one is it also includes a present for Matt from one Cappuccino Gill.
What is this?
Hey, Loopy Lore.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
There you go.
Oh.
It's another Loopy Lore.
So Paige and I hung out with Mr. Gill last week, the creator.
Hey, Loopy Lore.
Of Loopy Lore.
Came to town?
Yep.
Cool.
And described that he had given Wooly, me, and Paige copies, and then realized after having made all those copies, oh, I'm such a jackass. I didn't make one for Matt. Therefore, handed me that. Thank Here you go, Matt.
It's a really cool game.
I described it. I remember we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, interesting.
We played it like that. It was really hard for me to understand the explanation that you gave me. Not because the explanation you gave was bad, but because I didn't quite grasp. Because it's a tabletop game in which all of the props are suggestions. Like, it is an idea-based game where you are just creating a stupid little fan fiction with your pals.
Yeah, it's not. It's like there are ways to fuck people up, but it's ultimately like not
It's cooperative.
Race?
When we hung out with Gil, he described how much he much prefers cooperative multiplayer games to competitive ones, and found out how in certain games he can break them entirely, like tabletop or board games, by refusing to compete with other players, and that actually leads to like infinite stalemates.
Right.
So he took like some of that and said, "Well, what if it was just a game where there is no individual winning at all? It is all a group effort, and it is just here's your topic, here's your plot twist, here's your setting, and just go make up a good." The only thing you can do to fuck people over is when somebody's got a really good idea and they're telling the story real well, you throw a really dumbass plot twist at them and force your friend to scramble to explain why there is now time travel.
So that's what I was basically explaining, is you have these combo breakers that are the plot twists, but effectively, it's similar to how like Nobi Nobi Boy is more of a toy than it is a video game.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Now I see where you're going with this. I laugh because I'm like, where is this going?
Because it's, your goals are different, but it's still a really fun time.
Mm. It was a blast. And you get to walk out. It almost feels like a scaled down card based version of the story elements of a D&D campaign, right? Not the stats and not the rolls, but just like the part where you and your pals are telling each other stories based on your D&D.
But obviously, like, the fact that it's like, okay,
I played some D&D over the weekend.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Not really, but I did.
Anyway, what?
Whatever.
Did you roll a die?
Did you roll one dice?
It was being virtually rolled for me, and it was invisible.
Got it. That still counts. A dice was rolled in your name.
Yeah. Thank you for your loopy lore, Gil.
It is a super fun game. And I'm very excited for it to hopefully get a proper, real release. So good luck, Gil. Check out at Loopy Lore Game.
Loopy Lore.
Or just at Loopy Lore. Follow for updates on that. In addition to that, in terms of proper-ass video games, just bear with me, guys. I know you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. The Fortuna update came out for Warframe. That's their big update that they've been pushing.
Just explain what it is.
On them, that ice planet Venus, the one that had that We All Lift.
Why don't you just tell me the movie you'd like to see?
That came out, and that was... Do you remember back before I got into Warframe, there was probably a point where I saw, or one of you guys saw, the Plains of Eidolon something, and the feeling about that game was, what the fuck is Warframe? Is it?
It's Warface.
No, seriously, what the fuck is this game? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a corridor shooter that sucked. Why are there people flying around on an open world?
No, I just remember, my thing being like, oh, it's like that free-to-play ninja game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Fortuna update adds the ice open world, which is like stupid massive, like proper almost open world level massive. And it adds those Space Ninja skateboards that are fantastic and fun to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it from a gameplay standpoint, it is a evolution of their open world template, which is a lot of fun. And there's a bunch of shit that's broken that they need to fix, because that's how that game releases things. It releases things and they're awesome, but like, oh yeah, the fishing in these five areas is completely fucked. Don't even attempt it, etc. But probably the most interesting thing is the theming around it. Like, you know, the robot workers. There's a lot of body horror and, like, crazy...
There has to be.
...debt slavery, like, nightmare fuel.
So it really is Fortuna Entertainment. Give it a minute.
Don't know what you're talking about.
You wouldn't. You should.
Fortuna Entertainment. Oh, yes, it is!
There we go. Continue.
Damn.
Took a minute.
What? Help me here.
TMS.
Never mind. But like your
body horror would have been such a great subplot.
Yeah.
Your
Japanese idols and body horror.
Oh, no thanks. You're dealing with like indentured servants that have to sell their organs.
Correct.
Yeah. You're dealing with indentured servants who have to sell their organs and limbs to like get loans to buy robot limbs.
Okay,
and then have to spend the rest of their lives paying those off. Or else more of their actual organs will be taken away to pay for them. And it is just...
They don't just take the limbs away?
There's a movie that has Jude Law in it where they're literally guys that come and repossess your organs.
Yes.
Repo Man.
Yes. Yeah. And in fact, one of the enemy factions is like, oh, the Repo Man or the Tax Man
repo
is coming.
Man.
There is a guy in the very early quest that gets fucked real bad and essentially ends up becoming a brain with legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh boy. Like Warframe sci-fi, like weird techno organic aesthetic has always been really bizarre, but this shit brings it to the point where it's like uncomfortable. And the farther you get into that, the more uncomfortable it gets, to the point where I don't want to say too much, but there are people who have gotten to the end of the rep grind in that area and are desperate to roll it back and undo it because it is too much. It is making players uncomfortable. And I think that's fucking great.
Sick.
And
I guess you don't expect it in your free to play ninja game.
Yeah.
There's like body horror. You're like, oh,
they've been going a lot darker with a lot of their stuff recently. One of the last story quests they did was all about body horror.
Okay.
It was all about like, hey, what if you were trapped in a hospital bed and a bunch of horrific shit happened to you? And it's like, this is not really what I thought I was going to do with my fucking loot ninja game.
I thought I was going to get a new hat porn.
Yes.
We're going to have to answer these questions soon. I mean, it's one of those categories of awful horror that will become real.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, monsters or ghosts or some shit. It's like, no, like the idea of your body slowly becoming not yours. Mm-hmm. And the question of what's the boat? Whose boat is it? Where you replace the planks.
Oh, Jason's boat from the Argonauts.
You know, that is going to absolutely happen, like, to human beings within the shockingly near future.
Anybody that doesn't know what that is, it's a philosophical exercise about... should I bother explaining this or just tell people to look it up? I'll explain it.
Okay.
It'll take 2 seconds. Okay, Jason and the Argonauts go on their fucking mission to get the fleece, right? They come out with the boat. But over the course of the adventure, the boat gets so fucking jacked up that every single piece and bolt and piece of wood of the boat gets replaced.
Ship
over
of
time.
Theseus.
And the Theseus?
Ship of Theseus.
Whatever. They come back and then they go, oh, look at a boat. Is that the same boat? Even though not a single atom of that boat is the same as the one that left?
Still count as the boat? And I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, the question of that being the boat thing is really just a philosophical one.
Not so. Really, because, you know, there is not one single atom of Wooly or Matt in your bodies right now that was there 10 years ago.
But what I mean is, exactly, but also the concept of Wooly and Matt is not real.
Yeah, so, you're real. I can see you.
But me being actually Wooly is just a concept. It's a concept.
No, you're right there. I can see you.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So you know, that ultimately is going
to... Suck it, Greek philosophers. You don't know shit.
Go fucking watch go follow Open Bionics on Tumblr. Not Tumblr. On Instagram.
Apparently, there's a lot you're not going to be able to follow on Tumblr in the near future.
Apparently so, yeah. but go follow Open Bionics on Instagram to see them, like, giving people Jensen limbs. Basically, slowly and surely.
Those people are awesome.
And it's rad, but it's awesome, and it's also like, we are comfortable looking at and slowly replacing things like arms. We're looking at fucking Nero on our screen up here.
I don't think we're gonna get there in a little while.
No, maybe not. But the point is that limbs still don't feel like a part of you. Like, it's you, but you can easily see it as an extension of you. Versus something internal, like an organ or something like that, where you get fully...
See, that's goofy, because I look at it the other way. The organs that I can't feel, I don't care if they get replaced.
Interesting, okay.
Whatever. But, like, I know what my hand looks like.
Yeah, okay.
I know what my head looks like.
Yeah, I feel the opposite. But ultimately, when you get down to all of it getting replaced...
All of it except your brain.
Yeah, at what point are you comfortable stopping? And furthermore, like, what if you don't have a choice?
There's a Star Trek episode, I think, in which...
You mean all of them?
No, there's one.
There's a bunch that are like
I think
this.
It's in Deep Space Nine, where there's a guy who has some traumatic brain injury, and they replace half his brain with a computer, and, like, these questions start to arise, and then they have to replace more of his brain with a computer, and at some point they're like, okay, we could keep this guy alive... How much of his brain are we really willing to replace with a computer
What are you saving at that point?
Yeah. At what point did we just go, wait, it's just a robot in a suit?
I guess even in Star Trek, Senator Kelly's really important.
Oh, I guess.
Here's a question. If science goes and develops both parallel branches so that replacing yourself with robot limbs and parts or transplants are both equally as effective.
Yeah.
And the same cost.
Which is more horrifying, giving yourself robot limbs or giving yourself someone else's limbs?
I want the someone else's limbs.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to be a Frankenstein.
You want someone else's limbs?
No, I said that's more horrifying.
You stuttered over it.
My bad. No, getting somebody else's parts and just stapling them on, that's way more fun.
Even if they become completely functional and real.
Yeah.
To the point...
Well,
Even if you get a full body Dio style,
yeah,
where you can feel everything and you can, like, you have no loss of sensation whatsoever. All right,
let me put it to you this way. Okay, Goro. All right, follow me here. You know, he's got dumb arms coming out of his pecs.
Yeah.
Okay, what if those were fleshy arms that were stapled on from somebody else? That's pretty gross, right?
Sure.
Is it more or less gross if those were robot arms instead?
It's less gross.
See? Exactly.
Okay, but that's only with a forearm weirdo.
Yeah.
If you're not a forearmed weirdo.
The robot arms?
Yeah, I think the robot
arms. Yeah, but what about a normal body?
Yeah, I think it's less.
What about
gross.
Liquid Snake?
Wooly, here, you're thinking too small scale. If people are able to just staple body parts to themselves, you're going to see all sorts of fucking goofy shit.
Yeah.
But they need to connect in such a way that, like I'm not talking about.
No, they don't.
Okay.
Not if they're good at their jobs.
I'm talking about transplants. So effectively, no new limbs that your brain doesn't account for.
But that.
Your brain doesn't have
your brain can account for new limbs.
But when you look at the brain's map of like where your nerve endings lead and stuff like that, it has a lot of parts of your body like heavily emphasized, like your fingers your nose and whatnot. But there's no extra hands in there.
Neuroplasticity is stronger than you might expect.
Certainly, but as a hypothetical, I'm straight up saying
because
replace or robotic. And
I'm all chrome me up, dog.
Okay. Okay,
because like you need the neuropazine to counteract all.
I would love
that's
million
correct.
Times like
yes.
These things will just be flopping around mm-hmm. like Goro's fake arms, like they're just like not useful because they're not connected to the body in any meaningful way.
Which are you able to like? You have a choice,
yeah,
and you have to abandon this body. This body has given up on you. You're in a vegetable state. Would you rather replace your parts with another person's parts?
Because it gets really complicated. Can you feel
parts?
Stuff in the robot body?
No.
Maybe.
Not in the same way.
Maybe. It has to be yes or no.
Not in the same way.
They're working on it.
Like, you will know that the sensation is there because, like, sensors will tell your brain that contact is being made.
Okay.
But it will not be the same sense as touch.
Okay, actually, that's not necessarily true.
I know you can wire it up.
I would actually
be more grossed out and not feel great if I had someone else's arm versus if I was in someone else's complete body.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather be in that body and have all of it rather than just have like his left ball or his ass cheeks.
Would it make a difference if the flesh didn't look dead and zombified?
Well, I'm assuming that it wouldn't.
I also
I don't think many people are gonna fucking sign up for Charlie treatment.
Dead flesh.
Or like Frankenstein looks at him, he's like, oh, what the fuck? I'm never gonna get a bride like this. Although what if I do?
Yeah.
You know Angelina Jolie was supposed to play the Bride of Frankenstein, the next MonsterVerse movie.
That makes sense.
That's a good casting.
It is.
I
can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's gonna come out real soon.
Anyway,
real soon. I played Loopy Lore. I played Fortuna Update and Warframe, and I finished off Hunter x Hunter, which
as in you caught up, or as in it's over.
It's over.
Oh, okay.
I went from episode 60 whatever to 148. Now, being sick as fuck for about 5 of those days really helped.
Got it.
And then there was just like 2 nights of just like I bet I can do it and I
all
totally
of it.
Did. Yeah, all of it.
Wow.
All the way to 148. So the last update that I gave you is what was it? Hey, what happens when your manga artist just wants to do a completely different story and goes from, like, a murder fucking heist movie to, fuck it, yay, it's Yu-Gi-Oh!, right?
Why not?
Why not? Probably the goofiest thing that coincided with today's podcast is on our subreddit is, hey, check out the author of Hunter x Hunter and Yu Yu Hakusho's room. Did you see this photo?
I did not.
It is him in front of a CRT swimming in literal garbage. Like hoarder.
It's very
bold. Trash.
That's insane.
Right?
That's fucking, what is that?
So apparently it is suspected that many of his health issues over time are because he is a massive, insane hoarder. And the only reason I bring that up is because there is a character at the end of Greed Island, once the arc is over, that they walk in and it is a complete one-to-one recreation of the author's shit garbage room. Just lying in trash.
So he called himself out?
Yes, he totally called himself out.
Okay.
And the character, the Gon, is just grossed out by his own creator, going, ugh. And like, bad to the point of, hey, sit down. And he goes, dude, and he goes, oh, okay, one second. And just, like, mushes garbage out of the way. And is like, go sit down on that wet spot on the floor.
See, my brain always thought that famous mangaka had a big, clean office and everybody in it was doing all their bidding and
depends.
Helping them.
If you're,
it depends on the author.
If you're really, really big, you can work from home. And then you get to completely modify everything around. So Araki's...
Like, Araki can't possibly be drawing in anything besides a museum with Greek pillars and running waterfalls.
Like, may have OCD because everything in his house is immaculate from everything that I've seen.
There's a chapter in between cover, a chapter blurb, mm-hmm. where he talks about like finding his partner's false eyelash on the ground
and like freaking out
and
about
freaking
it.
Out about it. Yeah, it was a whole episode.
So, and the weirdest part is that trash man is married to the creator of Sailor Moon, and I guess she just loves him enough to deal with the trash.
Any dead cats under there?
Fucking napey. Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
And so I bring this up also because the arc afterwards, which is, I remember people talking to me about Naruto and about the nightmare that is the Great Ninja War. Because you went through all of what I know to be Naruto, and then you look at the stack of volumes on the shelf, and then like 60% of the entire series.
What?
Is the Great Ninja. Apparently Great Ninja War
really?
Is just super massive.
Holy shit.
Right?
Okay. I mean, in my brain, I'm like, well, I want to know what happened in the past, so that sounds right. like a decent idea on paper.
So Hunter x Hunter has been ongoing for a long time, right? Way past the anime adaptation. But at the time of its adaptation... Or at the time of the Chimera Ant arc, there are 148 episodes in that anime run. 80 plus are Chimera Ant. More than half are just straight up, yo, ants though. And I think about that and I go, the arc right before where he showed us the garbage, and then the arc right after is about an infestation of ants. I can only surmise that the idea came to him because he was literally being overrun with filth and bugs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
like,
actually. That seems absolutely correct.
And took inspiration from that.
You take your own nightmares. They make for great manga fodder.
Yeah.
And so all of what this series has become, highs and lows, are because he's a super gross hoarder.
Yeah. Maybe.
Possibly.
Possibly. Little bits. So... I'm going to obviously have to talk around the Chimera Ant arc. It's very famous, but there's obviously, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. So I will do what Eyepatch Wolf did for me when I asked about it. And it is use DBZ as an analogy. Because everyone fucking knows what DBZ is, right? So, quite simply, I don't agree with Eyepatch Wolf's description of this arc. He has always sold it to me as, what if Majin Buu showed up in the Saiyan saga instead of Raditz? What would actually happen?
Okay.
That would be bad. Yes?
That would
we
be
can
bad.
All agree.
That yeah. would be a tough battle.
Yes.
Now, I disagree
the
with...
The story would be over.
I disagree with that thing. I think that's a bit extreme. I think that's a bit ridiculous. And I've been workshopping a similar analogy that I think is slightly more accurate. So... Trunks comes back in time to warn the kid, the gang about the androids, but he doesn't know about Cell, right? Mm-hmm. We all know that. And then he chops up Frieza.
And his dad.
And his dad kills him, no problem. So what if, instead of that happening, Trunks comes back and goes, hey, dudes, androids are coming. It's going to be real bad, right? And Frieza lands. Hey, Frieza, what's up? Frieza walks out. And so do 17 and 18. And so does Perfect Cell literally eating a baby. Like a human child.
Okay.
Just eating its brain.
Okay.
And they go, oh. Oh. All right. Hey, Goku pre fucking, what's it called? Hyperbolic Time Chamber. I guess you got Cell. What's that mean? Okay, Yamcha, you now have to defeat Frieza. Krillin, you now have to defeat 17.
Okay, and then split
and,
it up
and
in that
Piccolo,
way.
You now well, have to defeat
is,
18.
What does Trunks do?
He gets fucking killed in 1 second.
Okay.
In fact, it might be the first thing that happens.
Okay.
Is Cell kills and literally eats him.
Okay.
So Trunks is the baby.
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever. And it, the point is that, oh, this is... You have to stack up the team according to relative strengths, but it's all horrific mismatches.
Right.
It's all awful. And Cell might be literally eating hundreds of thousands of children's brains a day.
The problem with the Dragon Ball analogy is the way the Dragon Ball is written, it doesn't matter how hard you stack the deck. It really doesn't, because they just win regardless.
So,
but numbers have to come into play.
Here's,
true.
And
as opposed to strategy.
And here's where it works, whereas in DBZ this would end the story instantly. Because, you remember I talked briefly about all that Nen shit?
Mm-hmm.
At some point, that kind of falls by the wayside, and they just start, they're just stands, shut up, they are just stands. They are just part seven stands. It moves from, like, they'll explain to you exactly how it works in the background, but in the reality, it's, hey, what can you do? I can do this one weird thing, and boy, is it fucking weird.
Does it ever become my spirit clone can do this one weird thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Explicitly, okay. In fact.
So it's not, yeah, okay. All right.
And long stretches of shonen battles are based around... He hasn't seen me use my not a stand yet. Therefore, we have an advantage because we've seen him use his not a stand.
And everyone's cautious,
well,
right?
Yeah, a lot of it, a lot of like things in like JoJo, whatever. Is like, I need to see the nature of their attack, and then I can figure it. Like, that's all they need.
Yeah, like, oh, he probably has a close range stand. That
I'm
means
using
it's strong.
I'm using DBZ analogs because of like respective power.
Understandable,
and all that stuff.
Understandable.
But it is actually stands, except for the main antagonist, who is actually just Perfect Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't show any. Nearly any supernatural ability, whatever, he is a DBZ character dropped into JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. With all the, like, in fact...
I'll be back one sec.
Prior to this podcast, I pulled up a photo of said Ant King.
I don't even want
that
to look at that.
That is Cell.
That is...
I want nothing to do with
Matt, look at this. Look at this
no,
photo.
No, he's going.
Okay, that is actually Perfect Cell.
That is actually just Cell.
And, like... All right.
Actually and factually. They didn't pretend.
Oh, Jesus.
That's just Perfect Cell, right? And so you have these tough characters you've spent this time with, and they're shit, and they're going, this is really bad,
yeah,
and we're all going to die.
Yamcha can't beat Frieza.
Yamcha? But yeah, by the way, Yamcha in this scenario is gone. Hey, 12-year-old. Defeat the strongest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
No, we know you can't. We actually, it's literally on paper, you won't. So, but do it. Or else millions of people will die.
Well, yeah.
And not just die, like, get eaten. Like, when I say get eaten, I'm talking, like, it's not quite at Berserk, but the start of the arc is literally monsters eating children.
Mm-hmm.
On camera. Like, it is bad. It is... Like, you've seen what Hunter looks like. It's like One Piece almost. It's like, yay, bright colors. And then it's like, hand me that baby to eat. And then throw its chicken wing style bones onto the pile.
Mm.
It is nightmarish. Mm. It's really out of place. And I finally understand why when people look at Jump Force and look at the trailer for Jump Force when they see, like, Gon do the thing, they go, that's weird and inappropriate. And that is not a Super Saiyan thing to do. That is bad.
Don't
a weird power-up to include as a power-up in your game.
Okay.
And it has the most ridiculous...
I mean, they did it, so
yeah,
it's out there.
It.
Well, it's a function.
And it's gone, but he's bigger and strong, and he's old, and he looks taller and buffer.
It is.
And that's that, you know? Like,
if you
from the outside looking in, this is what looks to be a power-up.
So what it should be is that you... what it should be in the game is, regardless of whether or not you win the match, the other person wins the match.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Like, it's that bad.
Okay.
And there's all sorts of goofy shit. Like, the arc is, like, really impressive. Like, it's... I understand now why people are always like... I was told by some people, just skip everything and just get to Chimera Ant. And I can see why people would say that, because there's a lot of crazy shit. It has the most aggressive anime time stop ever. Because the whole arc builds up to the attack on the boss.
So how many of that 100-and-some-odd episodes is Chimera Ant?
80-ish. Maybe 70-ish? I might be exaggerating. But it's like...
Almost half.
It's half. It's half. Might even be more than half.
Okay.
So most of that is build up to, hey, we gotta kill the guy. And then there's a countdown. Hey, we're going to jump through the thing and we're going to attack everybody. 10, 9, 8, blah, 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 0. 23-minute episode of the first 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Not even joking.
Yeah, okay.
The first 10 seconds of them jumping into the fight is an entire episode. And it goes to every character and goes, all right, this is what they were thinking as they ran next to a staircase. This is what this person was thinking as they ran next to a staircase, etc. And then it flashes back and goes, 2 minutes before this, this is what happened above the location. This is what this person was doing over there.
That sounds nauseating.
It is crazy. And there are... They all split up because, of course, they do. And they end up going through, like, an entire season of Game of Thrones level of, like, location hopping inside one building. Where it's like, what was this octopus man doing for 5 episodes? And it's riveting because it's a weird octopus man who has to shoot a wolf in the face.
So, all of this works, then?
It works amazingly well.
Okay.
The only thing that I can say that is a negative to it is that some of those little side, like, because they all split up, some of those stories are weaker than others. And the one that you really care about happens all the way at the end, because of course it does. And all the way at the end is like a year of broadcast. Mm. It's 40 in. Like, what's Gon doing is basically my question, right? What happens to Gon? It's 30 to 40 in. As you follow everyone around and Gon, what's Gon doing? Nope, wait. Literally telling the viewer to wait.
We haven't done animating that yet.
It has the best, how do I put this? It has the best you didn't win I have ever seen in anything. Just
a good you didn't win.
The most spiteful, cruel refusal of one's defeat ever.
To me, the pinnacle of that was the final case in Miles Edgeworth investigations.
Yeah. Talk around
that
it.
Final guy that was just like, you didn't win. No, we won. No.
Because
okay. Really?
Because here it's congratulations, you actually completely won. But fuck you, though.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
It also does something really... So, you know that problem with anime? Let's take Naruto.
Anime doesn't have any problems. Yeah.
Where Orochimaru killed all those people, but then they give him a pass? Because...
Every single evil person had a sad childhood.
Right. The characters you're dealing with are literally weeks old because they're weird ant monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing they did was eat or kill hundreds of children. Mm-hmm. Like, right? On screen. Like, not implied. Like, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as bad gets, and no, they didn't have a sad childhood. In fact, they're all happy-go-lucky. Yeah, eat the... God, what is it? What's the line? Hey, eat the kids' brains. The brains are more tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then over the course of this extraordinarily long arc, the characters change and grow and they become more human and you get to see more
personality,
yeah. And you empathize with them a little bit. Right up until the point where it's like, yeah, but this person killed 500,000 people the day before this arc started.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And people in the situation are not the viewer and go, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. You might be having emotions here. This person ate tens of thousands of people. Like, it doesn't matter. Fuck. You can't roll that back. So yeah, Chimera Ant, great. A plus anime thing. And aside from that, the series ends very quickly afterwards. Like, there's a 10-episode wrap-up, which, of note, is only one thing. And I will, again, use Naruto as an example because it's perfect. You know how Sasuke's a piece of shit?
No.
And just gets reintegrated into fucking society for no reason?
Actually, I don't know the details around how or why.
Well, they just reintegrate
him. But I know
that
he shows up later.
Right. And he never gets it. He never gets the comeuppance that he so richly deserves.
Maybe he does, and then there's something. I don't know. But I know that he gets off and is alive.
So yeah. Let's make it a little more vague. You know that character in that show that you fucking hate? You hate every part of the character. You despise them. You think they are a bad person, like in fiction. And you also dislike everything they represent about the show. You know what would be really satisfying? If the author knew that. And had an actual scene in which hundreds of people in an auditorium literally point at them.
That's pretty good.
And go, I hate you. You're a bad person. You're a bad character. We're going to champion some guy because he doesn't like you. And that's it. Straight up. Like 140 plus episodes of buildup of, hey, I think this person's a piece of shit. And so does everyone in the entire world, apparently, going, you're a piece of shit. You are the worst person here. Shame on you. For like a while, too.
It's like when certain wrestlers are trying to get themselves over and they're like, man, I sure hate that John Cena, am I right? And everyone be like, yeah, we hate him too. We're going to champion you now.
And that's kind of how the series ends.
Mm-hmm.
With a character that's been built up and built up and built up. And they're just a bad person.
Oh. Okay, well, yeah. Yeah. Now, that's, yeah.
And they're just a bad person.
Now I know what you're talking
and
about.
And everyone just goes, yeah, they're just a bad person.
Okay.
They suck.
So that's how that goes.
Yeah. Huh. They're just a shitty person.
Okay.
There's no big reveal. Okay. There's no big reason. They just suck. And aside from that, that last arc at the very end is kind of weak. It's based on a monkey's paw. Probably the most vicious monkey's paw ever. Hey, Matt, you get everything you want on your monkey's paw.
Nice.
But the person who uses the monkey's paw next has to pay some kind of price in equivalency to what you asked for.
You mean like they have to give up something?
Okay, let me try. Hey, you asked for a sandwich, nice. Right? Okay, the next person has to give a fingernail. That's not so bad, right?
No.
You asked for $1,000,000.
Mm-hmm.
The next person has to give their spine.
Okay, but is the monkey's paw passed down to someone I don't like, or is it just a random person gets it?
It's a person.
But I don't have any say in who gets the monkey's
paw. No, you don't.
Okay, that's what I meant. Okay.
And in addition, if you fail to give your spine, you and X amount of people that you know will just explode on the spot.
That seems a little much.
Yeah, it's a bad monkey's paw. It sucks.
Why would you pick it up? Are you told this before you even make wishes?
In fact, yes, you are.
Okay. Oh, so these are the Dragon Balls?
This is the worst Dragon Ball ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sucks.
Okay.
And the only problem with that is that the wishing bullshit is added immediately after a world threat that it could have solved. You could have gone to the wishing thing and gone, hey, kill all the Chimera Ants. And it would have happened. Like that. So it kind of robs that a little bit. But aside from that, great. Yeah, A+. That being said, my original complaint about Hunter x Hunter, which is Gon looks like fucking shit with that fucking green shirt on, remains. They knew to take the, give him a wife beater for Chimera Ant, and he looks fine. He looks like a normal character. And then for the, like, the last episode, they give him that fucking shirt back, and he looks like an asshole.
People demanded it back. They missed it. That could be the only reason.
So, speaking of would you rather things end or drift off, that anime actually does both.
Mm-hmm.
It end, like, the Gon story is over. Like, it is done.
Okay.
And right before that happens, they go, hey, by the way, all the stuff has just happened. This is just the smallest part of, like, oh, we could go to the other dimension, or essentially.
Right.
And that becomes, hey, if you want to go to the other dimension, go read
like
the fucking manga.
It's like Gurren Lagann is like, has a very good ending, but it could have drifted off somewhere.
It could have gone in a bunch of different fucking places.
And they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So having said everything you just did, and now me being able to infer as much as I have from it.
Yeah.
Would you still say, go read this thing?
Absolutely. Without any question.
Yeah. Okay.
I now have context for the hilarious images that are drawn by a child, which are the end of Chimera Ant are just falling apart because the author is like dying at the time. And yeah, I can see it. If he was overrun with ants and filth while writing that arc, I can see how he would have gotten really sick. Like, really sick.
Can you see how a man would build a YouTube channel on the empire of assault from our comments?
So I'm going to look back. I'm going to travel
back.
That's the real question,
right?
I'm
going
to travel back in time to somebody who has watched Chimera Ant and very much enjoyed it. And Wooly, it was you that created it, right? It was you that created the Eyepatch Wolf. Going, Hunter x Hunter is the worst. I hate that show. It's so terrible.
Raised him from the Lazarus pits.
Everyone who likes that is stupid. And I can totally understand, like, the spite of, like, no, but you don't know, though. No, but you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is very much a show that hits its... Like, the original anime adaptation was very bad. The new one is very good. However, it hits its stride. It goes from pretty good to excellent to genre-defining even, right? But it hits its stride over like a long period of time. And if you're not like signing up for that, yeah, sure. But when you're at the end and you're at the parts that are the best that this type of genre can be,
mm-hmm.
and you look at Wooly going, ah, it's so bad, so... I can totally understand it.
And you.
Well, no.
And you.
No, me, I need to be so clear. I never saw that old anime.
Yeah.
My 100% refusal was always based off of Gon's design sucking shit. And for most of the series, Gon's design sucks shit. And then when you hit Greed Island... He takes the shirt off and wears a wife beater for nearly the entire rest of the fucking series because the author... Someone fucking told him, dude, it looks so bad. Because his arms are too long and the cuffs of his sleeves hit the bottom of his shorts and make him look like a weird freakazoid. It's awful. He sucks.
Eyepatch Wolf justified.
Yep.
It's like a cooker for my sponsors.
Let's do that.
This week, the podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses.
Yay.
Cozy, warm,
dependable.
I wish I had a Casper mattress yesterday.
Wish I had one right now. No.
Right now. Because, like, Matt, the reason why the podcast delayed till 2 today is because Matt and I both woke up and went, need more.
Could use a big comfy mattress while you're going on your big anime right now. No.
And
that was fine.
I probably slept relatively fine, but like I sure felt like I didn't. I didn't wake up, but yeah, my back hurt.
I slept not enough, but and thus I was waking up kind of a little bit of a wreck, but that's my own fault. But if you want the best night of sleep you can possibly get, you want to sleep on a Casper mattress. The experts at Casper work tirelessly to make a quality sleep surface that cradles your what?
Spine.
Your natural geometry in all the right places.
Your spine's part of that.
Yeah.
The original Casper mattress model provides a sleep surface with just the right amount of sink and bounce. A breathable design, it sleeps cool throughout the night. They offer two other mattresses, the Wave and the Essential, in addition to a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Delivered right to your door, and you can enjoy free shipping and returns in the U.S.
and
Canada.
In a reality-defining package.
Defining package.
Yeah.
Defying pack. Defining?
Reality-defying.
Defying package. Yeah. Absolutely. It comes in that ridiculous box that just so you're like, I don't get how a bed is inside of this box, but it is.
There must be some type of mistake.
Yeah.
Your mistake was underestimating the box.
No, you underestimated the box. Don't do that. Put it in the place where your bed's going to go. Make sure you got the space.
Yeah.
And you can be sure of your purchase with a 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. That's a ridiculous amount of time.
It's too much.
To make sure that you're having the best nights of your life of sleep.
It's too much.
So do it. Now's the perfect time. Head on down to casper.com/savings to save 10% off your entire order with any Casper mattress for a limited time only. If you're looking for Black Friday or Cyber Monday deals, that's casper.com/savings to save 10% off your entire order with any Casper mattress for a limited time only. The offer expires on November 27th. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks, Casper.
Thank you.
Thank you, Casper. I have two small things to say. One, I almost bought that hat off Etsy to wear to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The fit, by the way, for our audio listeners, whenever I talk about Hunter Hunter, Wooly puts a gone hat on my head in the video.
Can I finish the? We had another sponsor.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
It makes it really tricky.
Oh my goodness.
It makes it really tricky.
My bad.
The podcast is also sponsored this week by Star Talk All Stars.
What is this?
In a world filled with fake news, flat earthers, and conspiracy theorists, what is a thinking person like you supposed to do? Think like a skeptic, of course. On last week's episode of Star Talk All Stars, neuroscientist host Heather Berlin, PhD, and her comic host Ari Shafir. Oh, he's great. Investigate the importance of skepticism and the power of evidence-based thinking. To help us separate fact from fiction, Heather and Ari are joined in studio by guests Cara Santa Maria and Dr. Stephen Novella, two of the hosts of the popular weekly science podcast, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. If you're worried about the growing tide of anti-intellectualism and devaluation of experts and facts we're seeing all around us, tune in for a show filled with science and skepticism. Remember, trust no one, question authority, and listen to Star Talk All Stars to get the rigorous scientific thinking you're desperate to hear. That's Star Talk All Stars. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts and make sure to subscribe.
Don't trust anyone. I think Stone Cold would be a
DTA.
Great guest.
There you go. Thank you, Star Talk All Stars.
Thank you.
Yes, you can continue.
When's the wave of Dyson Earthers?
Dyson Sphere.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure you saw that video of that girl's sister who thinks they live on the inside of the earth.
I did not.
She's a damn idiot.
I didn't know. I didn't see that.
Oh, man. That shit is hilarious.
I mean, dude, like, anybody thinks anything at this point. Like, we're at, you know, like... Like you're now able to be, like, I mean, for years, I mean, for generations, we've been born into such a perfectly isolated cocoon that... You don't have contact with real world, like...
I don't know, man.
Like, you can live in such a bubble of insular thinking that you can completely think that
shit. I live, like, on a cube Earth.
Yeah.
That's why I mentioned it before, but AJ Styles' perspective is a little unique.
Yeah.
In that Daniel Bryan's like, shut up, AJ. No one cares what you think. You think the world is flat. And he's like, no, I don't. Your feet are flat. He's like, yeah, they are. But you think the earth is flat. And he's like, I don't think the earth is flat, but there's something to it.
Of course.
And he's like, what does that mean?
Yeah. That means you're embarrassed to admit you think
you're
the flat. That's what it means.
Yeah. I didn't know about this because it was on the talking smack like section, and OSW Reviews was like, I love AJ Styles, but
that gets personal.
it's the I've heard it delivered to my face, and but it's just like, I'm not saying that. I just have some questions.
Yeah, yeah, I've got questions. Yeah.
And fucking oof. But, ooh, like, I'm just listen. I'm
follow
not
the money.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to not vaccinate your kids.
Do you know what happens to the money?
I just have some questions.
When it hits the Arctic, it falls off the edge of the Earth.
No, it hits the ice wall, idiot. I love the ice wall.
The ice wall's really good. The ice wall's really good. Antarctica is actually just a big ice wall around the flat circular Earth.
I remember there was like a trailer for something about flat earthers and talking about the ice wall. And then it just talks to like a guy that looks like a scientist or like a smart dude. And he's just like, they don't know what's the, they hit the wall. That's why those explorers got lost. And I'm like, what?
I kind of want to deep dive a little bit just to like I want to see why
this will be the section of the podcast that's cut out as a clip for sure.
I want to see why, like, what is the actual enticing thing to somebody who's not a complete moron but just gets bought in on the emotional appeal. You know,
it's your way to fight the system, man.
Like I want to hear the convincing
like the
sell.
Ice wall, where someone you know? Goes, yeah, the Earth is round. I get that, but yeah, you know what? It also doesn't make that sense. Oh yeah, it doesn't make sense if it's flat too.
But it can't just be packaged for what it is because people believe in Xenu, right? You have to actually you put it in the hands of someone that's charismatic and able to like shut down any of your protests things that you go, that doesn't make sense, and they go, does it? And then they have something really they fucking DO their way through.
So
and then you believe them at the end. And I kind of want to see that for myself.
I want to
get a better understanding of how this insanity is actually
a combination of multiple factors. And I think the biggest factor is that everybody wants to believe that they know a secret that other people don't know.
Yeah, there's that big feelings on like there's something bigger happening. And
I'm the one on the cusp.
I figured it out.
You know,
it's me.
You know what it is? I think it's in South Park, the movie or whatever, when everyone goes down to hell and then all the various religions are like, wait, why are we here? Like, what? Then what was the one real religion? Sorry, it was Mormons. It's like someone when there's a universal truth, someone's like, I should believe in this. Into the opposite, just in case it turns out I was right. Oh, it's going to be so sick when I'm right. And I can.
They're all going to see. I'm standing on top of the goddamn ice wall with my fucking ice wall flag, I'm going to be the king of the earth.
I think.
I'm never going to actually go down to the ice wall or make any effort whatsoever, but it'd be great when it happens.
We're looking at probably a combination of two things. One, the fact that humans are inherently curious. We always want to know what the mystery is. We have to solve the answer, and the fact that, you know, the saying about you turn a light on and there's always a shadow, like conspiracy can always retreat into the smallest grain of sand, that because we don't know what's under that grain of sand, like that mystery that makes us like as good as we are at everything else in life is also that little bug that's going to make you fucking continue
to put the
unexplainable in spaces that it couldn't fit into.
When I was in high school, I was so deep in an alien conspiracy
theories.
I was deep.
It's an appealing place to go.
The governments of the world are all hiding aliens everywhere.
And
I turn 20.
Like, you will never zoom out of your own thought process and see that you actually enjoy thinking this way.
It was fun.
You know, but no one's going to admit
it was a fun little adventure that I could have for me.
But they won't admit that,
everyone wants their own little adventure.
Like, they'll take it as dead serious and just say like, no, this is what's actually happening without zooming out and going, you enjoy being in this place, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And then you combine that with another thing, which is the actual possibility that there's no rhyme or reason to any and all of this. We're hurtling through space.
Yeah.
We're on a fucking spinning rock.
And that's when that happened.
No purpose whatsoever. No grand concepts. You're just here and then you're not. And that's too scary. So we have to contain it somehow.
I went from joyful alien conspiracy to ecstatic, crippling nihilism, which is like, like, oh, wow, the inevitable heat death of the universe is the most horrific thing I can imagine.
But instead,
Wii video game!
Well, instead of, because the problem is you have that thought, and then instead of trying to find value in the things that you have that are here that are temporary and beautiful, you instead give in to this fear and try to find an explanation that has no bearing in reality whatsoever or evidence for it, because you crave an explanation.
I watched the X-Files at the most impressionable age I could possibly watch the X-Files. I'm like 14.
Yeah.
You know? So, and now it's like, there's probably not government alien conspiracies, but that X-Filesness is so in the back of my brain that if it was ever to be revealed, like, without any question, the government's, yeah, no aliens all the time. Like, we've all been, I'll be the first one to be like, called it! Even if I, because that, it's yeah, back there.
It's a variant of, like, I pushed it
far, far back.
I am very anti-ghost.
Yeah.
I'm very anti-haunted.
I'm so there.
Right? I believe that is the dumbest thing ever, and ghost hunting shit is hilarious! But I'll still say, you know, if any place was going to be haunted, it would be this fucking place.
Sure, sure.
I watched a movie about this real life haunted insane asylum that's been abandoned in South Korea.
Yeah.
I believe that place is haunted, but I don't believe in ghosts and hauntings. But that place, that's the one, though.
I mean,
there's certain examples where I'm like, that has to be by the law of averages.
You listen to enough interviews with people that do these shows, and it becomes painfully obvious at a point that, like, none of them are actually, like, they believe the words, and they believe what they're doing. None of them are in on it, but they're simply, like, casted to go and do a ghost hunting show.
Yeah.
And then everyone else on the staff goes and rattles some boxes and fucking bangs a pipe. And then the person who's hosting is not in on that. So they have genuine reactions, but the rest of the crew is.
And that's all it is.
So they can be honest in an interview and say, I don't know what that noise was.
I don't know what I saw.
Right? But but everyone else making the show is like, oh, yeah, yeah,
for
whatever.
Those shows, there's two camps. There's people that are like, yeah, this is bullshit. I'm making this for money, right?
Yeah.
But I think if you do that long enough, you start to be like, there's probably something to this.
Yes!
But then after a while, it's like, no, I saw this or I saw that, but I was a non-believer. Then there's the people that are like, I saw some weird fucking shit in that weird, like, shack I was in once. And I made some type of, like, flyer, and I found other people that also got fooled by stupid shit.
That's fucking crazy.
And then we'll have a group, and we will want to be the ones that find the conclusive evidence. Like you're saying, it's curiosity.
Then you can find...
Those people believe in their truth.
That's my truth. You can't take my truth away from me.
And then you can ask that person, because they found Mew under the truck.
Yes.
Pokemon Red.
That's just another form of it.
Yeah.
If my truth is that there is a skinless war widow who died in that house in World War II, that is my truth.
You can't take
that away.
In conclusion.
Not in conclusion.
In conclusion.
Damn it.
Ghosts are real.
They're
all over.
In conclusion, it's all scary. But will you lie down and perish like a dog?
Yeah, totally.
Will you?
Yeah, fuck it.
Depending on how scary the thing
fool
is.
Fool that you are, you trust the chemicals?
Perishing like a dog seems okay.
Or do you simply acknowledge that it is what it is and try to find something
meaningful?
This
Kingdom Hearts shit is getting inside you.
It's getting inside real bad. It's literally...
Evolve or die.
Evolve
or
yes. Yes. No, it's face the complete worthless... Face the fact that it's meaningless and then create meaning. It's so simple. Instead, you're like, I'm going to fucking believe in an ice wall
because
I got nothing going on and I need to find a reason. I'm gonna fucking make a balloon to float up as high as I can.
Oh, man.
And fucking put my life on the line and not crash and die and go, oh, yeah, I saw the curvature of the earth.
No, man, you saw that ice wall.
Even though the guy who did the Red Bull fucking thing that went up that high, he didn't see the curvature of the earth. The things that we saw, those photos and whatnot, were just the goddamn fucking fisheye. Like, you can't make your own fucking rocket to see that shit,
well,
you know?
They're going to.
Yeah.
And they're going to see that it's really been flat. flat, surrounded by an ice wall. You know what the craziest thing about the ice wall thing? I don't know if you saw the whole picture, Matt, is.
Yeah, yeah,
but
I
it's
think
a
I did.
Flat Earth inside an ice wall on a spherical ice Earth. Because that's how it makes the gravity stuff make sense. And that's how...
you gotta shoehorn the planetary stuff water stuff in there to make it work.
I'm just salty that they picked Kubrick and not, like, Michael Bay to be the one who filmed the moon landing. You know?
Yeah, that'd be
and
dope.
So many more explosions and some type of nationality that's making a big to-do. Either be it Asian or black, there's always going to be one Michael Bay movie that's pointed or screaming.
Can we get... Okay, here we go. I'm workshopping it.
Yeah.
Videos of the moon landing as directed by other directors.
Oh, right?
Man. That's one small step for man, and doves fly out from behind the lunar module.
And then rocket that's coming up, a guy gets on top of the rocket and starts, like avoiding meteors.
And the fucking astronaut has two guns, and he puts them on his chest, and he crosses and kisses each one.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have fucking... he has a crucifix on over the goddamn fucking astronaut suit.
That's a good one. If anyone can think up any more during the remainder of this podcast, just, never say who it is, but just be self-assured that if you just describe of... Okay, so there's a guy that's about to, like, put in the flag into the moon, but you can't see it because there's just so many lens flares coming off all of the other planets and light sources, so we don't know what happened. You know?
I want to see David Lynch films the moon landing.
It's just a picture of the moon for 17 hours.
It's a picture of the moon that zooms in for 20 minutes to the bottom, and there's Neil and Glenn, and they stare at each other, and then it zooms in on the hole where the flag is going to go. Yeah. Then it shows you a picture of the flag, and then it shows you like a bumblebee in Arizona getting eaten by a bird.
No, that's the one. That's what makes
God damn it.
The flag goes into the moon, and then Beach Boys music starts playing, and we zoom in on Neil Armstrong's foot for a while.
Yeah.
We get a real, real close tied up on his foot, and then...
Which is weird, because he's not wearing the spacesuit around the foot, it's just the raw foot.
And then out of nowhere, he gets shot in the head.
Yeah, okay. They're about to zoom up to the moon in the rocket, and they play the music "Fly Me to the Moon."
Yeah,
and the background is all CG.
Yes.
And all the astronauts have these buff man bodies, but huge tits at the same time.
That's slow motion,
and it's really dark.
And Neil Armstrong, he's got the flag in his hand, and he's floating through the air and he's planting it, and he's like, oh, bam! And when he slams it in, a huge shockwave comes off the flagpole and shoots off the surface of the moon.
And there's allegories to Christ, all over.
That's the best one.
Yep.
Oh man, we should get into news. We've been faffing about.
Let's get into
faffing
news.
About.
No, faffing.
Yeah.
Whew. Big news, big stories. Our top story this week.
Can't wait.
This is my favorite news story of today.
The bootleg verse.
See, I said that before I saw it, but I'm still right.
So, it's a good thing that Castlevania Season 2 is as good, or you know, the whole thing together is as good as it is. Because it's like, if this was announced out of the blue with like no credit to it, I'd be like, that sounds like it's going to be horse shit.
The creator,
Castlevania Netflix creator reveals Devil May Cry animated series.
It will be the next Netflix anime based on the Japanese video game that you like.
So,
Who said this last
time? Adi Shankar.
You talked about watching the Devil May Cry actual anime.
I've never watched it.
I felt nothing.
Yeah, I said that. I watched like it. That. Okay. That shit is terrible.
I watched like two episodes of that.
So two things come to mind. One, obviously Castlevania being as awesome as it was gives hope that this is going to be also be treated great. And also the comments that he has made about Berserk have also made people very confident, because he basically shat on the new Berserk and went, man, I wish I got the ability to do Berserk and like do
someone
it
give me
faithful
the rights to that and I'll do it.
To the original art, because that needs to be brought
because
back.
Because the thing with Castlevania is that it's not too far from Berserk in its tone.
It's really not.
And its violence levels. Like, there's some fucking wipeouts in Castlevania. Mm-hmm.
The thing to keep in mind, of course, again, is that this is not the writer. This is not Ellis. This is not, you know
it's
what I mean?
Showrunner.
It's the showrunner. So it doesn't mean that the content creation talent is going into this in the exact same way.
It's true.
It just means
the
same
end,
person
at
the helm
though,
of the production.
The showrunner is what gathers the group of individuals yes. to do it. And if you're able to do that well once, very well, then like, that's at least, okay, well, I gather you're going to get a good enough team to do it a second time around because you saw the value.
Showrunners driving around, looking at artists and writers on the street and going, hey, you look good, get in.
Yes, and that is ultimately the best hope, is that you have enough, you're a good enough showrunner that you know how to build a good team.
Yeah.
You know?
The showrunner for Walking Dead season one was Frank Darabont. Then they got rid of him, and then all the other seasons of Walking Dead happened.
That's correct. Matt was telling a true story just now, and boy, it depresses me.
So this is the best shot we have at Devil May Cry getting
you know what I like
adaptation.
About the piece of art that's being used for this shot?
Yeah.
It's classic Dante grunged up with the DMC Devil May Cry
five.
Pendant.
And some eye shadow.
With the five, like, van motif.
Yeah,
what is this
him.
Image from?
I don't know.
That's
but
him.
But it's a...
That's the producer.
That's Adi Shankar?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay, good. Because he amalgamized all the good parts
gotcha.
Into an interesting-looking Dante. Young Dante, clearly.
Ah, so it's just him cosplaying. Got it. Got it.
Well,
it must be recent because that's the fucking... That's the new logo.
That's a good picture to use. Hey, the guy who loves Devil May Cry and made the Castlevania, here's him as Dante.
His own Dante.
His own unique Dante.
So I'm super looking forward to that. What would you...
His
really
name
quickly,
is Dante.
Oh,
what would you
talk
want,
about that. I don't care.
What is there to talk about? I mean, I tweeted it and that's all there is to say, really.
check out Wooly's Twitter. Go scroll until you find out.
Yeah, I decided to talk about DMC Devil May Cry a little bit this weekend.
Oh,
I had a good time.
Go.
It was fun.
Okay.
Oh.
It was fun.
So apparently that's in the credits.
Yeah.
That's where that's from. So apparently. We'll get to talk about
that. Oh, yeah, we'll get there.
So would you want like a show that's just like, here's Devil May Cry 1 and then
no.
that's it? Or would you want some cool amalgamated new version of Devil May Cry that takes, that, like how this image.
I want
no.
pre DMC 3.
I want. Yeah, I want it chronological, and I want it to be done the same way that... remember how Udon handled Street Fighter?
Yes.
Like that. So you're like, okay. We have the story, we know what the full thing is, let's make it happen in a chronological way, and build up to the
yeah,
present.
Yeah, the last okay. thing is the Street Fighter 2 tournament, the one thing that we know about.
Build up to the present. That'll be good. That'll be good. Yeah. I mean, fuck, like, if this comes out in the same way, though, where it's like, yeah, four episodes, oh, that does great, let's give it another more.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. But... Yeah, please do. Establish it. Get a good writer. Take your time with it. But it's Devil May Cry, though. So
it doesn't.
Good yeah.
It's not important.
No, just make it like. I don't know. I haven't watched the other one.
Yahoo! So. It's pizza time.
Yahoo! Crazy Pizza Man.
Okay, so you know what? I'll give you a 5-sentence anime Mr. review
cool
of
pizza.
The other DMC anime. Well, Dante is depressed and eats ice cream all day. A little girl hangs out with them that he has to protect for some reason.
Oh, God.
They go on increasingly banal adventures in which every time Dante has to fight a demon, he literally jumps into a different room or behind a sheer backdrop or some shit so they don't have to animate the fight scene. Then they get to the end and the big bad demon comes out and Trish comes out and she's like, oh, I'll help you fight him. And then the fucking shot, because it's in a big open field, they just cut away. Every time they would actually do something. There's like, I think Dante swings his sword on screen like twice in
and
a 12
episode
run. And
it sucks because they use this fucking picture of him holding the sword a lot on like the DVD cover art.
It's really bad. It's astonishingly fucking
boring.
I don't
think I'm going out on a limb when I say that like Devil May Cry is a franchise that loses luster the moment it jumps mediums.
It is primarily a video game.
But
it can be one.
It is primarily a video game.
It was the manga too.
Yeah, well,
I haven't read that.
I have that, and I flipped through it, and I wasn't really feeling it, but I didn't actually give it a serious read.
An American comic.
I have that
IDW.
Too. Yeah,
is that bad too?
That was terrible. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, this is popular. Let's make a thing based on it. But it's kind of like, this is
some video
great because it's a video game.
It's a video game ass video game.
Yeah, so it's always going to lose some luster. So hopefully they can. They're going to do it anyway, so let's do it to the best of, you know, the ability to make it not a fucking complete train wreck. But I kind of really feel that, yeah, as we the more you think about it, the more you go, wait, the Devil May Cry story. What?
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, cool fight scenes can be
cool.
I think
it has been suggested to me that the director of that DMC anime is the same one who directed the recent Berserk anime.
And all those other idol shows?
Yeah.
Context.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Speaking of oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Fallout 76, huh?
Oh, boy. So that was one of the other things. I spent a good deal of the weekend just browsing around looking at Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Going and retweeting shit, going, oh.
So.
Oh.
I heard the three nuke event went on.
That's correct.
A couple of things went on, but the one I read about was that the first patch is coming 47 gigs.
I don't know. Like, what it. That. How can a patch be that big?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. That's like. Unless it's adding new game worlds.
Occasionally, the way they divide their chunks up. Is bad.
It just sounds like they're uploading the game again.
It does sound like that. It sounds like they uploaded a beta build for release, and now they're uploading the final candidate.
Mm. Yeah, when your patch is basically like
the whole game,
the whole fucking thing. That's not just a patch. That's
a build.
It's a new complete build. So yeah, the patch weighs in at 47.258 gigs, bringing it to 1.02. Prior to the patch going live, the game was 53 gigs.
I hope you guys don't have data caps, people who enjoy this.
So basically, 53.04 goes up to 53.23, which means it's the entire game.
So, I'm in a weird position here because I refuse to play this game, but it fascinates me. It fascinates me so.
The notes include pacifist mode. Respawn option, seek revenge. Like, it's got to be more than just these notes, though.
Yes, I assume.
I love this quote. This update will be large compared to what we expect for patches going forward.
Yeah.
Fallout 76. By the way, there's a video everybody should watch if they're interested about Fallout 76.
Which one's that?
It is called Fallout 76, a AAA, I think it's called a AAA $60 experience, a $60 experience. Mm-hmm. It is a 20-ish minute video. It's one of those cool little video essays where there's no speech. It's just clips. And it is the E3 presentation of Todd Howard going, this is Fallout 76. And he will say one sentence, and then it will be intercut with about 2 or 3 minutes of people's streams showing the claim that Todd Howard made to be a malicious lie.
Wait. Todd Howard would never lie.
He God exaggerates.
God coward.
You heard about the Todd Rays?
He didn't even beat Jiren for us.
Did you hear about the Todd Rays?
No, what's that?
So you know what a God Ray is?
Yeah.
A Todd Ray is a God Ray that has just been placed randomly with no light source. So it just comes up from the floor or through a mountain.
They've been given the name Todd Rays.
That's correct.
That's pretty.
You know what's really
funny?
You know what's kind of charming and might have made people smirk is like during their E3 press conference they were like, ha ha ha, our games are buggy. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
How about you make that joke and then actually not
do something?
Do the same thing.
Was there a quote that was like expect bugs?
The quote was with the beta was. please expect spectacular bugs and issues.
Right.
So I've been staring at this for a while, and the video that I describe goes into a lot of detail. Probably the most horrific part of that video, and it genuinely creeps me out, is there is a streamer. I don't know his name. He kind of looks like an alternate reality version of me with brown hair. He's got glasses. He's balding. He's got a brown beard. I'm sure he's quite good. He seems charming. But he's talking about like, oh, I wouldn't be able to have, you know, done that quest because it's so busted, you know, because, you know, this broke and that. Luckily, there was this nice lady there to help me. And he's talking to a stream. You know, he does the thing where he's got the big camera. And then the person that he's describing goes, oh, hey, cool. No, no problem. And he goes, what? Wait, can you hear me? What? Because the game doesn't have push to talk. If you have a microphone hooked up, you're just on.
Oh.
All the time.
So everyone was on all the time.
All the time.
Okay.
And it doesn't tell you. And there's nothing on the screen to tell you that you're broadcasting sound.
Oof.
So
everyone heard everything.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, what if you or I had played that?
And ordered pizza.
And we ordered pizza to our house.
Yep. Yeah.
It's fucking nightmarish.
No, that's horrible.
And on top of that, like, it is... Jim Sterling put out a video on this, and the consensus, not just from his video, is like, Bethesda games come out fucked up.
The game was shut down at the time. That's fucking crazy.
The game came out, and it's fucked up. Sorry, Bethesda games come out fucked up, right? This game is to Bethesda games how Bethesda games are to everyone else's games.
But they're not... It's only these. It's only Fallout. It's only Skyrim.
Like, so orders of magnitude.
Other games that are fine.
Yes,
Doom
was
fine.
It's the ones
that they
built
actually
by
work
Bethesda
off.
Game Studios. Yes. It is astonishingly fucked up.
Triple A.
It is probably the most fucked up, like, Triple A release I can think of right now. Like,
this year, at least.
Easy. No question. Every single part of the game appears to be broken. Like, it's more fucked up than, like, No Man's Sky, easy. It's
I mean, what was the other one back then? Dungeon Siege, right? Or not Dungeon Siege.
Yeah.
What the fuck was it called?
I don't.
You know which one I'm talking about, though.
I'm clawing at, you know, I'm like... somewhat grasping it.
Yeah.
What game was fucked up that...
Mobile...
Oh, Dungeon Keeper?
Dungeon Keeper.
Well, that wasn't microtransactions. That was
really
microtransactions to shit. This game just... It just fucking doesn't work. And design... Like, there are security issues with the game. Your IP is not protected or encrypted at all. In any way.
On consoles?
No. Anywhere. So anyone can just take your IP from in session, spoof it, and kick you off the server.
But on consoles, you're running off of either Xbox Live or PSN servers.
Okay, well, no, though. Yes, though it, at that level, it becomes encrypted. But on PC, you can remotely kick people off the server by spoofing their shit. Everything's just plain text because it's this fucking bullshit engine that is being like horribly. It's like they took the skin off Fallout 4 and are trying to stretch it over a big freaking online thing, and every part of it is broken or bad.
Well, woof, woof, woof.
Have you seen how VATS works in it? Matt, you're familiar with VATS, right?
Yeah.
You know how VATS works in that game?
It's actually in real time.
Yeah, like, and it's
things don't slow
and
down.
It's a shitty, jerky auto-aim that randomly changes the percentiles.
The other bit I heard was that inventory was too small for all the little whatever Baphmodads you need to collect and stuff. And
I'm sure.
So there's a whole thing about like they're going to be up.
You know, there's
too.
Not a single character in that entire game.
There's like not quest givers.
Well, yeah, there's only other people.
Yeah.
Hence, that's why
and
the
robots.
Thing said everyone, the ad was like everyone you meet will be another player.
Yeah.
So.
And.
Meh.
But they're like.
Meh.
Do you know that they put the Skyrim dragons in it?
I didn't know that.
So the final boss of that game is bat versions of the dragons from Skyrim that attack and fight you like the dragons from Skyrim. So when Todd and the gang talk about how it's their biggest project and how all hands on deck, that might be the biggest lie.
No, but they needed people from even Skyrim teams to help out on it, so maybe he's being truthful.
There's no way that this was made with like anything.
And it's
but
just like
the,
a fucking
the minimum effort.
It's just like a modded Fallout 4.
Yes,
basically. And it's not like Fallout 4 came out a few months ago. It came out like 2 years ago.
So. Like, and you look at this. This is such a disaster that it kills my interest in like Elder Scrolls 6 because they've already said, by the way, we're going to use the same engine going forward for Elder Scrolls and Starfield. And it's like the engine that was falling apart a couple games ago.
Do they just not want to use Unreal 4? Do they just hate it?
So
if you build, the more you build on top of a given platform, the more expensive it is to like switch off of that once you committed
to
it.
It's a money
look
loss.
At Telltale.
I have actually dug pretty deep on this, and there's a lot of reasons. Number one is that the engine that they use allows for really easy override. So they all have an override folder, and anything you put in there replaces its equivalent in the file. This means that it's super easy to mod. It's trivially easy to mod, which is important for Bethesda games. The problem is that also that modularity or whatever makes the game kind of inherently unstable, right?
Well, yeah.
Luckily, the modders will help fix that instability because...
Is that what it is? They're like, well, modders will fix it for us. Is that what it actually is?
So there are bugs in Fallout 76 that are in Fallout 4 that mods fixed, but were never patched.
Yeah.
But now those mods don't work with Fallout 76, so the bugs are just bad.
That was an era of Steam, actually, that I don't want to say it's gone, but I feel like there was a time frame in which bad PC ports would just happen, and then it was like, mod community will handle it.
Yeah, fuck it.
Right? Was that like 2014 maybe?
Dark Souls 1 was the epitome
you know,
of that.
I feel like that around that time frame, it was a pretty rough fucking time to just be like, slap a PC port.
Like, if I remember correctly, like Fallout 3 doesn't run properly on fucking Windows 10 unless you mod it.
And didn't Fallout 3 just not work on PS3? What was the one that was just it would just not function on PS3?
Skyrim.
It was Skyrim.
Would just fall apart after a certain amount of time. And so they've also spent all this time, like you said, working on this engine, and everybody at the studio knows how to work on this engine. But like the engine has so many structural problems. Like, if anybody who's played a significant amount of these games, and I mean multiple of them, there are tons of bugs that happen in every version of the engine where you pick up an item off the table and every single item in the room falls 1 inch because it has to reset the physics in the room. Shit like the way the animation sliding works or it is a mess. And it reminds me, I was talking to Eli about this, Plague of Gripes, for those of you who don't know. It reminds me almost of Telltale. And I think Eli actually pointed this out.
I mean, I that's why I mentioned it. It's like, at a point, it was like, why are you still sticking with this engine? And now we know it's like, they could not afford anything
else. The reason is we have a winning formula, and all we have to do is just keep making these games, despite despite our engine becoming a trash fire.
The time to make that switch was Walking Dead Season 2.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. That fucking came and went, and as we saw the graph go down, where would the money for an engine switch have come from? You know? It really sucks when it's like, okay, we're stacking and building and building and building on this thing that is barely running. Mm-hmm. We've now moved an entire generation forward, and we're still juggling plates on this fucking unicycle.
Fallout 4 has some of the fucking bugs from like as far back as like Fallout 3, like in just the way the stuff worked. And Fallout 3 came out and it was fucked up, but it wasn't that fucked up. Like it was okay. It was a fucked up big RPG.
Better than this.
Fallout 4 came out and Fallout 4 was fucked up.
Yeah.
Like it was, and then now this comes out and this is as fucked up as it has ever been. For anyone. Nobody else gets away with this.
New Vegas is also pretty messed up.
So New Vegas was Oh, God. I must have told you guys why New Vegas is so fucked up.
No,
they moved up the release
date
on Obsidian by months so that it would release super fucked up and drive the Metacritic down so they wouldn't have to pay their bonuses.
But you don't think this is going to go down in history as just like that random-ass side game that came out sometime?
I don't think this game's going to go down in history.
I think Willie means just like when you look back on the franchise, this is some type of weird game experiment.
Oh, you mean you think this will be the weird one and then the next one will be kind of fucked up but like normal?
I don't think people are still like catching feelings over Nosgoth.
So
I think they just look at it and call it Nosgoth.
So
yeah.
Matt, you've dabbled in these games, right?
I haven't beat Fallout 3.
Matt, Wooly, you haven't really...
Never. The cursory interest I have... actually, I've QA'd some of versions of 3.
Okay.
A little bit. Just like the beginning parts and whatnot. But the interest I have actually is for Fallout 1 and 2.
Yeah.
If I ever go back...
Those have nothing to do with Bethesda.
If I ever go back, it'll be to play
those
games. You're
right. Those games are great.
Those are the ones I want to know most
about. Or New Vegas, obviously. But, and Skyrim's a good game. Like, for all the shit, it's a good game. But, so to the people who have played a bunch of these, there's only so many of these types of releases that you can tolerate without getting super fucking pissed off and frustrated. Yeah. Like, I am so... So I look back on Jeff Gerstmann's review of Fallout 4, and there's something that he pointed out there that was really salient, where the game was fucked up enough that he would go up to items, quest items, like, you know, the quest marker points to it, and you got to interact with it.
Yep.
And at a certain point, he would become anxious because he would be worried that he would click on it and it would not function. And that would taint the whole fucking game. Because you kept talking to people, expecting their conversations to break.
The fear that it might fuck your shit up.
And every one of these games that you play that's super fucked up, which is you playing it at release, increases that anxiety. So when Elder Scrolls 6 comes out, I'm not even excited to fucking play it at launch anymore because like, oh great, I can't wait to be super fucking pissed off when the Dark Brotherhood quest line just breaks two quests in.
Are these billion hour games? Because I've always got the feeling that they are.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
They absolutely are.
Yeah.
They can be.
Feels like it, yeah.
Okay. And like there's only so much overall tolerance for this. Especially after like Witcher and fucking even the newer Assassin's Creeds, and
because they're the longest Assassin's Creeds have ever been,
right? Just these big ass, like they're not Skyrim's, but they're getting closer.
Yeah,
and like Witcher 1 and 2 and 3 all released in various states of kind of fucked up, but like a full order of magnitude than even the fixed version of Skyrim by Bethesda, and it sucks. It absolutely sucks. And it would suck a lot less if Todd didn't come out every year and piss on you and tell you that, it's goofy bugs,
Well, this year he's going to have a lot more stage time.
Yes, he will.
Oh, God, I forgot about this.
Because Sony's not going to be there.
Nintendo is still being there, technically.
So, Sony's skipping E3 2019.
We have no games. Like, what is this?
Effectively, being really honest about it, right? They're just like, we don't want to come out and prematurely build up something we can't. Well, let me get the exact quote.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those pretty straight up, like, yeah, we don't have shit to show you, so we're not going to pretend type of quotes. Blah, blah, blah. Where was it?
PlayStation fans mean the world to us. It's the top one.
No, it's not the top one. It's the one where they basically just say, like, we don't have enough.
So this.
Okay, well, they don't have enough.
Yeah, they don't have enough.
Sony's skipping 2019 because they don't have enough. Might as well just tell us right now that the PlayStation 5 is coming out in 2020.
They mentioned that.
Holiday 2020.
Okay, the quote is not in this article, it's in another article, but they basically mentioned Days Gone and another game. Might have been Ghost of Tsushima. But they
were
like.
Those are the two.
Yeah, and they were just like, we could come out and show you some of where those are at, but ultimately,
but fuck it.
Well, because like, it wouldn't be like enough.
It's like I don't particularly care for Days Gone, but it's like I think Ghost of Tsushima like can be shown. Like Nintendo had an old E3 where all they showed was Zelda, and it was pretty good. I'm considering
that was Zelda.
I feel like we've talked about this a couple of versions of this conversation.
Oh, this is like a season that just ends.
There's
with no resolution.
No, it's not. I think this is one of those things where it's like there's no winning here because they either show something and we go, that's a bad show, or they choose not to, and then you go, why aren't you showing anything?
It hasn't stopped them from having bad shows before.
It certainly hasn't. So if
they haven't had a bad show in a long time, but still.
If someone looks at it and goes, hey, I'm looking at the paper on the desk right now, and it looks like this is going to be a bad show, why don't we just not do it? I can't say I don't respect that.
I feel like they've been doing like big fancy, like big super packed shows the past couple of years. And if they held one this year, it would be like the old style, like the
fill for time.
Look, we got like, or like one of the more recent Microsoft ones where it's like, we're so proud to be working with all these people.
One of the old style. Hey, investors, we're still busy.
Hey, look, but it's going to be, look how money we sold.
Big hype numbers hype.
The last E3, I think we kind of agreed that Microsoft had a more entertaining show.
They did.
Even though that they didn't have that many first party things, but there's still third parties making games for these systems. What's the problem with just showing a lot of exclusive trailers or third party games?
Well, there isn't a problem. So that's the thing about this is that, like, this means Sony's not showing up, but everyone making games for Sony's platform is going to be there,
of course,
and you're still going to be seeing third party stuff.
I just think when you're Sony, you can have a show that is less about your exclusive stuff because you don't have that much. That's fine. I understand that. But taking the time and all the eyeballs that are watching your show to highlight games that they might have strong ties with certain publishers. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So you're not wrong. However, that's not the way it would be interpreted. If they just went up and ran a reel of smaller games, no one's going to feel that.
It would be PlayStation House, no girl.
Exactly. You know, where's your big ball clunkers?
Because Sony has been killing it on the first party front, and they've always had like three or four big ass first party games to show, and now they fucking won't.
They could show fucking an hour of Final Fantasy VII Remake footage.
No, they can't. There's not an hour of that game made.
They could show an hour of that footage, and there will still be, at the end of it.
It's fucked up that they don't even mention that game in the press release. They're like, yeah, that's not coming out.
So they could get to the end of that conference and someone will go, no PS5, horseshit, Sony fails.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it you know, so they're like, yeah, look forward to PSX, I guess.
That we canceled.
They canceled that.
Oh, well, okay. Well, nothing.
They canceled the one that's supposed to be happening in like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But PSX 2019 is what I mean.
Maybe.
But did they cancel that?
They canceled this one and they haven't talked about the next one. So that might be just dead forever.
The reason why they canceled this one that just is going to supposedly happen? It's because they said we have nothing to show.
Yeah, I remember, but I'm assuming 2019.
They're going to goddamn announce the fucking PlayStation 5 at the next PSX.
If they're not being at E3, then
so
yeah.
We've seen Nintendo do this, and I see this as Sony doing the same thing, where they're like, we want to control our own event and time it when it makes sense for us, as opposed
to having to show a Death Stranding trailer, but no one's going to understand it again, so they're like...
E3 is a trade show.
That's another fucking game. That doesn't even have a release date. Why not show that?
But apparently, there's a possibility that was like a rumor that Death Stranding is going to come up at the next whatever event. The date for Death Stranding is coming up.
Is VGS.
VGS.
Or something like that, where they're like, there's whispers of that. But if they say we don't have anything interesting to show you, I'm going to believe that. I'm not going to say, no, I don't believe you, right? And I'm also going to assume that they would rather control their own marketing message and go, let's have our own PSX event while Nintendo has their own scheduled directs and they get away from E3 in general.
It's kind of like, companies are slowly realizing, because remember, that's not even Sony. Like, every couple of years, someone has dropped out. Like, we're not even having a press conference. Like,
for sure.
Who didn't have one last year? It was like EA. Someone was like, we're not.
One or two years ago, Nintendo was out, you know?
Yeah, but like, it's people, like, companies are kind of seeing, like, we're going to get lost in the shuffle if we keep spending all the time and energy and plan it takes to show them the show. Why don't we have our own fucking show and everyone's looking at us?
Our calendar does not line up with E3. Therefore, that's that. And, I don't see anything wrong with that necessarily, because E3 still has its use for smaller companies and for third-party companies and for everyone else that's not a console manufacturer. You know, to get together and show off what they've got.
I kind of realize that a lot of big third-party games are very interesting. They're coming out all way before E3. Like RE2 Remake, Kingdom Hearts 3, Devil May Cry 5.
February, January.
Yeah.
Capcom.
I'm sure a Yakuza's coming out.
Capcom fucking loves the first quarter.
They do.
They have fucking loved
Ever
that.
Ever since RE4.
Yeah. They fucking love
February
it.
Is fucking fighting game February.
And they will drop shit in February and March all the time.
Except for Ultimate.
Because you've got to get it out before April, because April's usually the deadline for fiscal.
Yeah. Well, March 31st is the end of the fiscal quarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Monster Hunter came out in fucking the spring of last year. And RE2 and Devil May Cry 5.
RE7 did as well.
Are going to come out in spring of this. Like, spring is Capcom's.
Yes.
Capcom has that season. It's ours.
It's just like delaying a game when you're like not ready, you know. It's like fucking
they've decided, no, we're going to end up delaying it. So fuck it.
Make, you know, use the create your own schedule.
Well, you know what they like for RE2, you know they've said that like they've been done since like August, right?
They
have been almost completely done. Everything from now until that game's release is polish.
Perfect.
Which is months and months and months because they want that game to be immaculate.
Excellent. It's great news.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, yeah, they're real comfy with that fucking spring slot.
So, yeah, there's that. And then little fun bits
fun
in there.
Dangly bits.
Fun dangly bits.
Oh, yeah?
This one's a quickie, but they just announced a new Super Robot Wars game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Super Robot Wars T, coming to PS4 and Switch.
I'm sure the Switch version will be uncensored, but the PS4 one will be tons of censored.
Yeah, that's a different news story, but Sony cracking down on the anime titties in their games for some reason.
And as usual, there's always lots
Nintendo of... Nintendo, what Sony don't.
Yeah.
There's always lots of fun in seeing, like, one, how does the new game look in terms of, like...
Does it look like all the others?
The animation's gotten a lot better, so there's a trailer for it. The animation quality has stepped the fuck up. There's a lot going on.
Nice.
It's very, very pretty. But the big fun is what's the lineup gonna be?
Yeah.
What's the smash, right?
Yeah. Everyone has some weird
Everyone
picks.
Is here. And we have some weird shit coming in, like Gun X Sword, for those of you who are fans of
shit.
Dan and remember fucking Gun X Sword. Gun X Sword is getting in there. And let me see. Of course, there's a bunch of
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
I saw.
No.
The fucking
Aura Battler Dumbine.
Cowboy Bebop.
That's what I'm trying to find
here.
We got Gun X Sword over here. I'm going through the trailer
Is Override in there?
Let's see if I can. There we go. The fucking Bebop. Spike Spiegel is in Super Robot Wars.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he joins the fucking party.
It's not a robot.
It's a ship. It's a gunship.
It's not a robot.
It's a gunship. There's lots of non-robots.
It's called Super Robot Wars. There's other things.
Dude, I want to say immediately after this, the fucking Arcadia shows up because Harlock is here and he's flying his goddamn dreadnought. Right? Captain Harlock gets in as well. It's fucking sick. So,
what's the deal with anime?
Anime is here, and yes, so you're getting Gun X Sword, you're getting Cowboy Bebop.
It's fucking weird.
You're getting, as far as new franchises go, that is
Magic Knight, Ray Earth,
Arcadia of my youth, Endless Orbit SSX, Ray Earth, and of course all the classics and fun stuff. Votoms and
just one, like, you know how we
so
you
on
guys
and so
mostly
forth.
But I always Gal
Gaigar
agree, like, it'd be cool
Gal.
If the final boss is just a guy that's your size.
you'd
be great if just dude from Bastard is just in it, and it's just him.
I mean, so the OG games, there's an OG game where you're using the pilots that are fighting on foot,
mm-hmm.
and Zengar Zombolt is kind of doing a bit of that where he's got his giant sword, but I hear you. I feel you.
Just man.
Yeah, but yes, the Shibi, the S super deformed robot sprites are looking nicer than they ever have.
Mm.
So yay, Super Robot Wars.
The uncensored version only on Switch.
The other woolly story.
Some light shafts will cover the robot nipples.
Yeah, and there'll be lots of fades to white.
The other woolly story of the week that I guess
you were in the news again.
Well, a little bit of a slow news week, not going to lie. But for those of you who are still paying attention, there's some Kirby DLC coming out again.
Is it more
Wave
free
3?
DLC?
Yes. So
this is the most free DLC I've ever
Magalore,
seen.
Taranza, Susie, a new area, new playable characters. They just keep throwing new characters
Kirby
at it.
Kirby sucks the universe.
The official art has Kirby with a goddamn scar on his face because shit's getting real.
Yeah. He's got from battles past.
He's got the Himura Kenshin scar.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's interesting for those that care is alongside all these fun playable characters, there's a little tease at the end that looks like the
Guts.
The Jambastion mages as well are also going to be
playable. Oh, yeah, the Jambastion mages.
I saw
so
Rick.
The playable character list
fuck yeah.
Is yeah, I know. It's,
I don't even
it's,
know.
That shit's wild.
It's super hype.
What, wow. What are they actually from?
They're the bad guys from Star Allies.
Oh, you mean like they're
villains
from this game?
The villains from Star Allies.
I never like played that far.
Yeah, yeah. They're so it looks like they're going to be playable too.
That's everyone is here.
Everyone is here. Like we're looking at this list and it's just like everything Kirby, everyone that's ever been a friend or foe in any of the games is now here and is playable.
It'd be great is like there's a playable logo of the Fox Box.
Yeah.
When he used to be on there.
Like, we're missing a couple things here and there. Dark Mind isn't, you know what I mean? But, like.
Oh, I gotta have Dark Mind.
But so much more is here.
They have to be spherical in shape to be there.
Basically.
More or less.
Anyone practical and non practical is here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Magalore, who fucking does nothing but sit on his ass all day, is here. So, yeah, Kirby DLC is free and it's happening and they keep it coming. Star Allies continues to be fucking amazing.
God, that game must have sold, like, not sold a lot, but made a lot of profit for them to be just, like, more free DLC.
I think they just had a tail end planned, you know?
But what I mean is, like, if the game did not make a profit,
then
they
probably have stopped
it.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a decent observation. I agree.
Or it doesn't take a lot of man hours to just take a spherical like little
throw
character
a character
and
in the
throw
game
in there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like the model, we just had to make the model and use the existing thing. Now over to the Matt section.
Oh, the Matt section of the podcast?
We've got some Travis Strikes Again news.
When you think of Grasshopper or No More Heroes, do you think of the word season pass?
Sure do.
I don't know why this game has a season pass.
Guess what? That was a lie. I just lied.
Turns out nobody else can figure out why it has a season pass either. But Travis X again is getting a physical edition and a season pass.
It's going to have new stages and playable characters in the season pass.
But why would a game that's a top-down arcade style going into other games arcadey thing need a season pass?
Because it just add more stuff. I don't know. I think it's like, for lack of a better term, let's just call it a season pass. Would it be more like make sense to you if it just says it's going to have DLC?
Yeah, like Kirby.
but a season pass, I guess.
But Kirby doesn't have DLC. It has free LC.
Did you see the box art? That's the physical edition.
I've said that before.
The art that they're going to use for it. Have you seen the full image?
I know there was a piece of key art, I believe, as Japan calls it, the other week.
I've said free LC before in your presence.
Yeah, so there's that weirdness. And
the other bit on that was Let It Die is having Travis gear and Travis stuff.
That's cool.
Added to it as well, like they did with Killer 7. There you go.
So Let It Die.
That's appropriate.
Is getting the Travis Touchdown clothing.
Do you know what? That makes me grossed out a little because it just looks like the bad Travis model from the PS3 version, which looked always not great to me because they just added shiny shaders on it and just called it a day.
I mean, the funny part is that this outfit just looks like it's shit that you'd put on in the game anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've got one of his Moe shirts, his leather jacket, collar popped, and ripped jeans.
But he still has got a weird gas mask on, so.
Yeah, because Let It Die.
I've never been more happy to be wrong where I was like, man, Let It Die, there's just no advertising. It's just going to bomb super bad.
I remember thinking that Let It Die was the most appropriate title for a game ever.
Because lots of websites would just be so happy, like, can't wait for this to fail. I'm going to make a banger of a headline with this one. Let It Die dies at release.
Let It Die is left to die by its publisher. And it's like...
A million copies within like a month or two.
So you think that season pass is going to be mostly stages and characters?
For what?
For
well, it says it is.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
In the article, it says it will be an additional playable character and more stages.
Cool. Let It Die. The game that was pretty all right.
It's not my favorite Grasshopper game, but I'm glad it exists.
It's fine.
Because it lets you cross-promote your other Grasshopper shit.
And then we've got some Dead or Alive 6 news. New fighter Nico.
Did you see your gameplay stuff?
I did not, but just as a design, we're looking at this character Nico, which looks like Soma from Castlevania.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Wow.
And yeah. I was like, oh.
With the blue hair instead of the white hair.
Wow, look at that Soma. I don't mind it. I think it's a cool character
She's
design.
She's like a scientist girl and shoots blasts of energy at you.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm down. She's pretty different. I'm down with the outfit. Except fuck those heels. You're insane.
Nah, whatever. Shut
stop
up.
It. No, stop giving heels to fighters. You're crazy.
You stop it.
Well, there'll be a million costumes.
You're a
for
fighter.
Her, so it's fine.
There will be. And then there's the
Kokoro.
Kokoro
is back.
Heart. La Mariposa
is back.
Also rocking some heels, a little bit more sensible with their flat, like kind of like flats there. But and then La Mariposa is back as
doesn't
well.
Doesn't have heels.
Nah, wrestling boots, son.
I'm super glad they're like not hiding from these characters that are super unpopular in Japan. I think Lisa/Mariposa was like the lowest rated woman in DOA history in terms of Japan's popularity with her, and she wasn't added to Dead or Alive Extreme whatever because of it.
Okay, but let's be real, like DOA girls are kind of just a character swap the wig.
But I'm just glad that they added her despite that.
Yeah.
Cuz they were like, well, let's
swap the wig, swap the skin and eye color. And then
just make Mary Rose too,
and just figure out how much they want to like wail when you use the fucking Wii remote to blow air at them.
Set their age. Very important to set their age.
Not sure if that's still a thing anymore.
You know how Street Fighter characters, you can set their language individually?
Yeah.
You should be able to set individual ages for everyone in Dead or Alive.
No, I think it just stops at an age. Like, you can't go lower than that. It just,
18 to 99.
Yeah, 18 to 99. That's it.
Yeah. Add decimal places.
But it's her, Nico, and then there's, Travis Touchdown?
What is the age of this character? Is it question mark?
I don't know. Scroll down, Willie. I think it actually gave her stats somewhere.
Nico?
Yeah, I thought I saw. Oh, that?
Nico's 18.
Oh, okay, 18. Of course she is.
She's from Finland. She's a lightning technomancer, and her second outfit looks like Edgeworth.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And so there's that, and there was the Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Scarlet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Announced.
Mm-hmm.
For the Switch. It's probably going to be uncensored.
So, Dead or Alive Extreme 3 on the Switch.
So, they added a new girl that's not in DOA 6, but is in this one.
I think the quote is actually like a big-titted snow princess.
Yes.
I mean, these games always have, like, those non-fighter girls that show up, right?
Yeah. Like honkers.
So they're the
and the other one from the first
game. This DOA game has a little bit of a scandal because the PS4 is not going to have It is not going to have a HD Rumble.
No.
For
it can't.
Right. But it also will not allow you to use the items that soften the girl's skin.
Yeah.
Which allows them to bounce more easily. And it will also not have the fan that you can blow at their skirts that they hate.
So all this Nintendo only features.
This game is 2018 as fuck.
Man,
2019, excuse me.
Early 2019.
I don't get it. I talked about this on stream yesterday, but like Sony fucking put out the Vita and everything that came out on the fucking Vita. They put out Conception and fucking Monster Mon Piece.
The DOA game that was on there had the touchpad where if you rub the touchpad, etc., fill in the blanks.
Monster Mon Piece.
Yes.
Jack your Vita off. It's the most. It's never been anything but.
Like, and all those fuck. It had prison girls and shit on it, right?
And they barred, what's it called, Super Seducer from even being released on the platform. What?
So
and that's way less of a thing
like
than this.
This feels like one job position changed.
Yeah.
Somebody went, we gotta get that fucking filth off
so
our
I guess
shit.
I guess you're going into the Sony censorship story.
I don't know if I care enough
I
to call it a
that's,
Sony
I think that's
a story. I just think it's, I don't care. You're all freakazoids. but it's weird. I'd like to see an answer as to why. Because they sure didn't used to give a shit.
Do you think it could be the obvious Occam's razor that is the times?
Mm.
But then why is
Does
Nintendo...
Does that not seem like a likely explanation?
Not when Nintendo doesn't care. Because well, Nintendo's the most family-friendly motherfuckers ever.
Yeah, but it's a company-to-company basis.
They had a Kagura game exclusively on the Switch where all you do is rub the girls.
The policy changes from company to company, obviously. You know? I'm sure if certain other countries were in the hardware game, fucking...
I don't know. I don't see anything that changes about the times in regards to your creepy pornography.
Yeah, it's evermore.
Your creepy foreign pornography.
Whenever the question is, why would something that used to be fine now be a problem? It seems weirdly inconsistent.
But here's
my thought process is, the answer is the times.
Here's my question. I'm not asking that.
Okay.
I'm asking why Sony.
Of all people.
If this was the whole industry, that would be one thing. But I'm asking why Sony change... Not Nintendo
well, the industry,
or Microsoft.
The industry has a policy that is the ESRB as far as back as it goes.
Yeah,
but
none of this stuff violates the
right,
ESRB.
But content policy is determined on a company-to-company basis, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't go any further than Sony if they decided internally that's what
but
they
want. That's like, why I want to know why the Sony.
Like, Sony should make a press release or someone should do a quote explains why Sony is doing
it. I want to see... Mm-hmm. Sean Layden get up on a goddamn stage and say,
he
here
can show
at
up
Sony,
at E3.
We hate anime titties, and we don't want y'all to play with your anime
so
titties.
So you want the press release that officially says The Times
in
press release form?
I want to answer.
Because I'm just guessing, but I think that's the likely reason based on Occam's Razor.
Well, no, I think the likely reason why Sony doesn't say this, because if they straight up say it, they're like, people will now buy products on competing systems.
Not just that.
If you just shut up, they won't know
no
the
matter
reason.
How but it's not the just times that. Are, mm-hmm. you're going to still, there'd still be a huge demand for your creepy porno games.
Yes, but here's the other problem with making a statement. It's then, a statement is almost like precedent in the Supreme Court, because now everyone gets the point back at it. Mm-hmm. And go, but what about the other game that had?
But also,
hold on. What is the what in the second paragraph? What is the item?
The gold fan and the softening gel.
That's correct. Because you need to put the gel on the girl to soften the girl.
Yeah.
So then you can fan her down with the gold fan.
Yeah.
Always softening gel available now at your local pharmacy.
Okay. Let me
head
let
on
me,
over to your PharmaPri.
I feel like I'm not getting.
Or excuse me, your Dwayne Reed.
I feel like I'm not getting the my point across. I'm not like probably the times, right? But why now, specifically now? Like, you know what I mean?
You like, you don't want... Because you can figure out why. What you're really asking
I
is...
I want the event slash meeting.
Because I'm saying, you know why. But you mean, what was the catalyst?
Yes, what was the reason? Because the reason's always going to be, we here at Sony are less than comfortable with our creepy porno games. We used to be cool with it.
What?
But now we're not cool with it.
What,
and then the
what
answer
set
is,
off the mousetrap ball?
Why are you no longer cool with the creepy porno?
Because it's not like there was some sort of massive lawsuit where some mom looked at the kid's PS4 and says, what are all these bouncing fucking titties and softening gel, you asshole? Oh, it's Sony? They have money. Let me sue them.
Right.
You know?
And how come... Sony, how come you are not cool with the creepy porno for the adults, but Nintendo's cool with the creepy porno for the kids?
Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, the answer to why, so you're asking a different why. As in, like, what was it? As opposed to, like,
what was it?
Conceptually,
it is
why?
The why.
Because, I mean, obviously the why can go on back and back forever. The why now? Because we live in a puritanical society that believes in espousing its values
Sony,
and forcing them onto other people
Sony
in such a way.
Sony Japan doesn't live in a fucking puritanical society!
No, they live in a falsely puritanical society where the deep seedy underbelly is still present and has a marketplace. However, on the surface,
the
Japanese society has to accept the idea of Puritanism.
No,
even,
they don't.
Even though
that's
there is,
it's completely full of shit.
Even though there's an accepted degree of deviancy within that same framework.
You are going so fucking high end out of your own fucking ass. You're so wrong.
Because Sony Japan never gave a shit.
Never.
Because way back in the day, there was a decision that the church decided that sex was bad, but violence was okay. And everyone in society developed their culture in such...
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know.
But yes, I too would like to know if there was a specific job hiring that happened, or change of mind in some place or thing that led to a snowball rolling down the mountain.
Do you remember that time where someone said, some company said that during the time of the PS2, Sony had mandated we don't want 2D games
anymore? I do know that. And that
because
was,
it looked like it made our systems look old and shit.
And that was traced back to like a single asshole.
Yeah.
That was one guy who did all of that shit. Right? So on this, I want somebody to get up on a stage and say, Jim from accounting's son found his titty game on the Vita, and his wife was like, what the fuck? And he's like, no, it's for work. And then he came to work and said, we can't have anime titties on the game anymore.
And that's more about you wanting someone to be like accountable almost.
No, I just want to know the specific because it's probably hilarious.
Okay.
He even says, however, both the fucking pervert gel and the fan or whatever was in the previous PS4 and Vita versions of the game. So clear, this is a new directive.
Went to Tecmo and said, not only you have to take these out, you have to take out your creepy titty gel, remove it. And then Tecmo Koei probably said, huh, why? And then Sony had to go, we don't do creepy titty gel here anymore.
Yeah, I doubt you'll ever see a framework publicly coming out to talk about this type of thing.
No,
it's
because
just
it's easier to just what they do.
Yeah, it's easier to just say nothing.
Yeah, because no one wants to get on a stage and say, hey, creepy perverts, you don't get your titty gel here at Sony because you're gross.
And no one also wants to say that it happens on a game-by-game basis, you know, on a moment-to-moment basis. And sometimes we let it slide and other times we don't.
Just bury your ostrich head into the perverted sands and just don't talk about it.
Why can't we put softening gel in every other game?
Yeah, I would have much enjoyed God of War more.
Meanwhile, on Steam, fuck it, unless it doesn't break the law, I guess. Yeah. Which is a weird reversal of their former stance.
There's a lot worse games that could have softening gel as an available item in them.
Kirby.
If you put softening gel on Kirby,
that just sounds fun.
He would just melt.
That just sounds fun. That's
wholesome.
That's just a good time.
That's everyone.
He'd love it. He's already that fluffy.
Everyone can enjoy that.
No, it's got to be nefarious. It's got to be a bad one.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, so. I want to hear that Kazurai got caught in his office jerking it to some weird bullshit and then went all fucking reverse on it and was no, I hate that. I was looking at that for research.
I was looking
on how
at
to ban
it to see how much I hate it.
Yeah, I was just checking to see I still hated it.
Like that guy from that band that one time. Yeah.
And you see there was a fly on my crotch, so I was hitting it multiple times to get it away. I would never do that.
Don't put softening gel in a hat in time. Don't do it.
Like, I look at this, and this story, I'm doing air quotes.
Air quotes, big air quotes.
Is, like, endlessly hilarious to me. Because on the one hand, you have the company, like, just being zero clarity.
The lack of communication is what makes it hilarious, because you know the reason why they're not talking about it. It's because it makes them look bad if they say anything one way or another.
But all the people who are, like, mad are like, no! My anime dolls! I need to blow the wind at their skirts! Ah! It's like...
I really hope... I really, really hope you're prepared for continued inconsistency going forward into the future.
It's not even that
prepare yourself for no answers.
It's not even
at
that
any
different
point in time.
From the crossplay thing, where for like a year they never said jack shit about it, and then eventually they're like, "This is so embarrassing."
Well, guess
everyone in the world is screaming at it.
Well, you know what? I guess we need to start a fucking revolution.
So if you add titty gel into Fortnite. Fortnite's eventually going to be like, well, you can get titty gel in the Switch version. I don't know why you can't
rub
the
Sony won't do the cross titty gel play.
Yeah.
You know who has the answers? Billy. What was that fucking game again with the box art with the sausage on it? What was the game with Xbox? And then the girl eating the sausage and and it came with the Daki Makura.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I forget.
Oh, what was that game? I forget. All right.
More research is needed.
It was fucking. We had the giant special edition of that, and it was just like how embarrassing could you, like, in what awkward position can you put this out in your living room?
You could find ways.
So there's an interesting point made by the article that you pulled up to read this from, which is actually somewhat more serious, which is, this is a PushSquare.com article, and they point out, like, hey, how is this going to affect the Catherine release on PlayStation 4?
Or just Dead or Alive 6 in general.
Sure, but I say...
Record of Agarest War.
I say Catherine because Catherine has a bunch of sexual content, but it's thematically appropriate and serious.
Yeah.
So what? They're like, are they actually gonna? And then it becomes wait, because that's the weirdest one. The weirdest one is nudity is okay as long as it's not to get your dick hard.
But as of right now, does the full body edition even is it even announced to come out here? Because if it did, I missed it. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it ever got announced that, yes, it's going to be localized and brought over here. I'm assuming it has. I don't know.
Probably. Yeah, USA.
Okay.
Sure enough.
It just doesn't have a release date other than 2019. Like February 14th for Japan and everything else doesn't have a date, but. Okay.
Sounds like Sony wants to give all of their players softening gel. If you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
That softening gel via lack of choice
flaccid,
in your titties.
Flaccid gel.
If you go to a Sony conference, the moisturizer in the bathrooms, it kills your dick.
So that is if you could go to one since they canceled them all.
You know what? They couldn't get the formula right, so they canceled E3.
We don't have enough formula to show.
Yeah.
So you can understand why we're canceling... Or E3.
Every hard dick gets canceled.
This is the
cancel them.
This is the funniest story ever. Everyone is wrong. I do have to admit, I do have a slight amount of respect for the people who are willing to admit they are creepo freak ass perverts.
That's not
and
even
scream from the mountaintops
and die
about
on that
how
hill.
Important it
That's
is
not a
to
hill.
Be a creepo.
That's
pervert.
Not a hill that they're dying on. It's two hills together that they're dying on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Man, these hills sure are hard. I wish we could soften them up.
We are not allowed. Not allowed to farm these titty hills until the gel come in.
It's like, you know, when
Sony holding the gel back.
You know when the God hand appear and the floor becomes like faces? It's like that. But they're not faces.
It's kind of horrifying.
Yeah. I could stay there for a little bit.
I say as I use my Zarya mouse pad.
Yeah. Those are her biceps, though.
They sure are. Let's take some mails and get out of here.
Hey. Okay. If you want to send an email down to us, you can send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
If you want to tell us about what titty games you like.
Yeah.
I'll listen to those emails. No problem.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, guys. Jesse says, sort of a correction. But Perry Bible Fellowship is making more comics.
Yeah, we know. This came in last 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, there you go.
And we said we knew at the time as well.
Oh,
corrections are currently, I think, 0 for 50.
I think there's probably one.
All right, let's try this one. Correction. Greetings, geriatric gouty guys.
I'm the gouty one.
Gouty.
I'd like to point out that some of Matt's comments on the Sabrina show, while I'm not watching it, and I know this for a fact, Matt is old. A good way of seeing how old you guys are, young versus old, is the stance you take on a classic Disney movie premise. Like The Little Mermaid or Pinocchio. Yeah. You know, the story is Disney placed on a copyright and to not use the real IPs. I'm sorry. I don't know why you wrote this way. But anyway, if you take...
Do we need to correct his email?
It looks like we might need to correct.
The writing of it is very just not to the point, but it's okay. If you take the young whippersnapper protagonist, you are wrong. But if you think he is foolish and going to get himself hurt, like the father figure warns, then congrats, you're old.
Ah, I see what he's saying.
The way Matt snaps at Sabrina shows that he's old. Let it sink in. You deserve it.
Okay. Well, no, because people in the show... like say to her, you can't get everything. Like Sabrina's weird, and like I get what this guy's saying, but Sabrina's weird in that I've never seen a show call out the main character as hard as this, especially not an American made drama thing. Like that's why I even brought it up, because I'm like, it's so weird. I've seen this other type of behavior, and usually I don't mind it, but I almost feel they wrote Sabrina to be this way so that the character can grow. And then that's why I said, like, towards the end of the show, I was like, oh, I'm glad she learned. And I was just kind of like commenting on how that's pretty unique. Usually if a character is never written to be this annoying, because they back it off because they don't want people to dislike the main character.
That sounds like the perspective of an old man
yelling at a cloud.
Sure.
That cloud named Sabrina, the teenage cloud. Mm. Got it.
All I know is that the original sitcom Sabrina didn't have this issue.
It's true. It didn't. You know why? Because you weren't old then. Damn. Mm,
I guess. You don't need to be young or old to notice bad writing.
That's correct.
So.
Bailey says, they're super big cowards. Recently on stream, an old Indiana Jones game, The Emperor's Tomb, was re-released for PC.
A bunch of Star Wars Episode One Pod Racer
came
and
out.
Two old Indiana Jones games just came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, LucasArts is just dumping them on Steam out of nowhere.
Weird.
I remember being really fun as a kid and quite enjoyed it, but I never did finish it, however, as a later level had something in it that scared me too much to ever want to pick it up again. The level in question is the underwater one, and while I was fine with that, I wasn't fine with the creature that lurked inside, sharks. I just watched Jaws at the time as a kid and developed a phobia of them. Mm-hmm. I would cower out of multiple games as a kid, Mario 64 and the eels.
Yes, I was just going to say, that's mine.
Fear in the first couple appearances of Alma, Resident Evil remakes in the first zombie, Duke Nukem and the Xenomorphs, and the Thing video game, and creatures inside it.
Got it.
Has there ever been a game that you cowered out of finishing due to a certain enemy or creature that scared you too much?
Well, I didn't cowered out of finishing Mario 64, but it sure gave me lots to think about.
The only game I've cowered it out on is PT. Like, just abject, not finish it.
That's
And then Paige had to beat it for me, because I'm a bitch.
Crimson Heads in Resident Evil Remake did stop me from playing it for months.
Oh, really?
And then I went back to it, like, later that year, and then finished it. I had no idea what it was doing anymore, because it's been so long. But
yeah, I got creeped out by the spiders in Descent back in the day.
Hmm.
Those were a thing. But I can't think of any game where I've stopped playing it completely.
Yeah, I can't think of one result. Oh, well, I mean, again, it didn't stop me, but Redeads and Ocarina of Time is always kind of the go-to.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Like, I don't want to play more right now where I am in the game.
Those Redeads worked because the rest of the game had nothing like it.
Yeah.
That's why they work.
Hey, listen, there's a fucking flesh eater over there. Whoa.
And the noises and the freezing and the mashing to get out of it. It only works when you don't know what's coming and the whole game led you up to nothing. Remotely close to that moment.
I have breaking news. I completely forgot. I don't know if you guys talked about it last week. Did you see the PT remake?
The fan
Which one?
Thing?
Yeah. The fan thing. Some guy just fucking ripped out every asset and just completely remade
it. Okay, there have been multiple versions of this.
Okay, this
is a recent one.
This came out like 10 days ago, and a guy just ripped every asset from PT, all of it, and just ported it to the PC for free and just said, here you go, PT, there you go. Mm. And it's out there now. Mm. And it's out there forever.
Mm.
So PT is saved.
Mm. I want to say there were at least two other projects. I don't know if they came out, but we talked about them as stories.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this one last week, though. This was like a new development. I saw the headline about it, and I was like, what?
Okay. He literally...
Like, the scare of PT going away spurned a lot of people to jump in their Unreal hallway editors.
Yeah.
And he did it the right way, too. He appeared and said, I ported PT to the PC. Here it is. And then disappeared.
Yeah.
It's a fucking good job. P.S. Fuckinami.
Yo, guys, Matt says, when I was in high school, there was a rumor going around that the band Yellow Card was going to appear and perform a free concert in the auditorium during a school day.
Oh, my God.
In 2008, when Yellow Arc was still relevant, the rumor went on saying that it was an excuse to get all the students away so that drug-sniffing dogs would go through everyone's lockers.
Oh, my God, this is the best! Oh, man.
But what if someone didn't like Yellow Card?
It was pretty ridiculous, but it still spread like wildfire. What are some of the dumbest rumors you heard in school?
Oh,
I remember...
Nothing I want to repeat on this podcast.
I remember a dumb one that was just like, hey, you know that school across the street that's like the nun school and we hate all those kids and like constantly get into fights with them and like it's a huge rival thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know Virgil Academy across the street?
That's correct.
Yeah, they're merging with us and then all their students are going to be in our student body.
Cross.
And we're like, that's insane. That'll never happen. Why would you send the Cobras against the Panthers, meow, and just unleash them into what will surely be a bloody war.
That's correct.
And then they fucking fused the schools, and then all those kids joined, and it was
a bloody war.
It was a bloody war.
Was your life consumed by the Troubles as a result?
It was in the middle of like grade eight or so, and everyone was just like, oh, you weird kids. And they're like, oh, fuck you guys.
Over from Bass High, man.
Because they were the smaller school, and they were like, they had the. The weirder kids, and they had, again, the nuns and stuff, but they were also the more extreme personality types.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whereas we were, like, the larger, more American-style school.
I remember when we were in, when I was in high school, no, it was elementary school, we got a batch of homeschooled kids. For whatever reason, some law must have changed, and we just got, like, five or six homeschool kids. There was one kid, Daniel, for whatever reason, we were grade six, might be the strongest person I've ever seen in my life. Like we all had,
he lifted 100 pounds over his head.
Yes, actually, because that 100 pounds was Kyle.
Okay,
and he fucking chucked Kyle like he was a football. He was really nice guy, but we'd all be roughhousing, and he'd be like, "Danny, you have to not. We're children. You are in the body of a man, and we will all die if you throw us like that."
He
was super smart too.
In the playground in my elementary school, there's this giant tree right behind the baseball like dugout thing, and kids said that a kid died at the foot of that tree, like bashed his head against the tree over and over again, and just died there. So everyone would give it a wide berth, just never kind of going there. And then a marriage was doomed because we had like a fake playground marriage. And of course, I was not really invited, as why would you invite me to this?
Mm-hmm.
But they did it in front of the tree, and everyone said, your marriage is doomed because it's where the ghost kid is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened with them, but I'm assuming I'm more successful than that marriage is.
They're
right
probably
now,
so. Dead.
The year before I got to high school, there was that day when there was a rumor going around that a bunch of kids found a dead hobo in the bushes out on the field. And everyone's like, that's fucking crazy, whatever. And then in the sixth period at the end of the day, the speakers came on and the vice principal got on and said, we just want to let everybody know not to be alarmed by the police disturbance outside when you leave today. And that this occurrence has nothing to do with our school, and no one involved was associated with our school whatsoever, because there was quite literally a fucking hobo body.
So you're walking out, and you see Adachi and the rest of the cops hanging around the telephone pole, and they're like, hey, kids, you get out of here.
Yeah. Quite literally a dead hobo body right in our schoolyard. That actually happened. So the things with my school were all real.
I remember there was a rumor that in my elementary school that our music teacher was insane. And the rumor came from, you know, he fucking punched Gabe in the face, right? Like, what? We're in elementary school. That's ridiculous. And then, sure enough, it was super real. He had actually lost his temper and, like, punched one of the kids in the face. And somehow kept his job!
That's crazy.
Tenure is powerful. Tenure is fucking powerful.
Now, to be fair, Gabe was a fucking shit disturber.
Absolutely.
Gabe, like, I look back on this as an adult and go, fuck, I wish I could have punched that kid in the fucking mouth. But you're not supposed to do that.
And there's tons of cell phone videos nowadays of, like, teachers getting swung at where they can't do anything back.
Yeah, the teachers are going swing first.
Right. Swing first. They can swing first. But that's
kids just running up to teachers and giving them tornado DDTs and they can't really do anything.
Yeah.
All they can do is sell.
But the few that decide to break kayfabe and break a child, like no one really frowns that hard at them. They kind of go like, "Yeah, we get it. You're still fired, but we get it."
back in TNA, Jeff Jarrett got a gimmick where he's tapping out kids. He's going to like karate like classes for little kids, and his gimmick was he just puts them in figure fours, and he's like, "Yeah, no one can beat me."
It's a fucking awesome gimmick.
It's super good.
It's a really good gimmick.
Follow my camera around.
Tapping out kids.
Yeah, strong.
Their legs are too tiny. I can't put them in these complicated holds. Damn it.
Yeah, it's figure four, and it's pretty much it.
Shouldn't have fought me.
That's what you got. That's what happens to you when you've messed with killers. Mr. Jarrett, you came to my karate class.
What? Like, I hope that he get like that's old. That bit ends with him running from the parents and getting in a vehicle of some kind and driving
away from the parents. And he hides behind the corner of the building. And when the dad comes around, he hits him with like, a fake guitar.
Yeah, there you go. And then he sings "I Hate Rap."
God, what the fuck is that quote from JR? Like, he broke like 10,000.
It's not from JR, but some other guy. It's like he broke 10,000 guitars and never drew a single dime.
Fuck off, Jim Jarrett.
We got one coming in from Ramirai says,
"Hey man,
they're lovable scrounge rules." And that one guy a few years ago, these people like to do the vague thing so that we can figure it out ourselves.
I'm being vague tweeted.
So we all
right
make
now
a face.
You're getting vagued.
Am I the guy?
A few years ago, I was attending an exhibit on games and at the Technological Museum in Stockholm.
Cool.
It was an awesome exhibit filled with so many functioning arcade cabinets and consoles, all the way back from Pong up to contemporary times, all of it freely interactive and as it rightfully should be.
Mm-hmm.
I got to a large number of the classic titles, including Missile Command, Mappy, Space Invaders, and the original Machines, and I'd always considered the knowledge of these games, my knowledge of these games to be high, but the one thing that floored me was seeing Asteroids on its original hardware. I imagine most people who listen to this podcast know what Asteroids is,
mm-hmm.
but the one thing that doesn't come across on modern monitors is how bright the thing is.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I fired a shot in the screen, it wasn't just shooting bullets. I was shooting shining stars. It surprised me, and it made playing the real thing have a much greater impact. It's another thing about this medium that I love, that such an old game can still find ways to surprise you.
Hmm.
Other than that technically imperfect emulation of software, are there any nuances from the few last generations of consoles that you think are going to be lost forever on games of the future?
Well, the first
scan lines.
The first thing that I can think of, I was thinking of scan lines, and me and Liam ran into this when we were doing Mario RPG, and that Mario RPG on the Wii and the Wii U and the Switch maybe looks like shit. Because that art style was made with the scan lines to darken the image and give it texture. A lot of old games look like garbage if they don't have the proper scan lines and CRT band. Because the art was made with that
in mind. The 40th anniversary collection of those SNK games that came out, like everything but their fighters, basically. That has some of the most, like, love poured into the scan line system. Like, there's lots of, you know, other Capcom collections that do a pretty decent job, but this one had like insane amounts. Like, they really want to. Even the Capcom Beat 'em Up collection shipped with no scan lines, then they patched in a bunch of scan lines because they knew people were like, no, I need it bad.
I fucking love the look of a good scan line.
I do too.
I think it depends on the game. Some games look better with it, some games I'm like, eh.
I like the aesthetic without. I don't know if how do I put it? Like, I like the aesthetic when I'm looking at a screenshot.
Yeah.
You know, I like in game as it's going, I feel
like, have you seen people run those like fancy emulators with the scan line and the shit on like stuff like Street Fighter 2?
Yeah.
The game looks amazing.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to get at, is that in some cases, right? Like, it doesn't work for every game, but certain games were made to look better with these limitations in place. And I think games like Metal Gear Solid needed a blurry CRT for it to look as good as it does.
So you can't see how it really looks.
And well, so what's going to be lost is any games that use their medium to mask like the flaws in a way. Because then the higher resolution and crispness actually takes something away.
That's
from
why
it.
Scan lines are an option, though, because I have seen people like on the internet be like, "I think scan lines are stupid. It makes it look ugly and fuzzy." Like, people just didn't grow up with it. And I can understand if you didn't see it, you're like, yeah, that I don't get it. Why would you like that? Mm-hmm. So that makes sense why they're taken like they're always an option. Mm-hmm. But it's like Metal Gear will, if Metal Gear ever gets released again, well, I guess on the PlayStation Classic it is, it's like it's that thing's not going to have scan lines.
Well, it's like Metal Gear on
the, well, no, it didn't have scan lines on the PlayStation 1.
No, but I mean it did on the TV you were playing.
So Metal Gear on the PS1, when you played it originally, way back in the day, the way that the CRT and the resolution work together with the way they've done the black textures makes the game look like it has lighting. Mm-hmm. The game doesn't have lighting, but it looks like it has lighting because there's a lot of darkness everywhere.
Yes.
On a good-ass modern TV, you can just see that it's just black textures. You can just see that it's actually just
the fake. PC port, even way back when, was way crisper than obviously the PlayStation release was, and you could see a lot of that stuff coming through too. And it creates a weird thing where you're like, you're now appreciating these imperfect models and this imperfect textured world for what it is, but it doesn't look the way it was trying to sell you when you first played it.
Right.
And it's way further. It's not even close. It's ancient, but like try and play fucking Marble Madness on anything but an original Marble Madness cab. It's the worst. That game sucks unless you have the trackball.
It's like, though, at the end of the day, I'd rather play like Final Fight or some beat 'em up on the actual arcade that has scan lines than like have a nice clear screen that has like what is essentially fake scan lines have been programmed in. Like, I'd actually rather do that than play what I know to be fake. It's there to make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The scan lines. Like if, and I mean that like sincerely, like if there was a machine right here, I would not play the Switch version because I like playing on the cab.
I very much am happy with like Third Strike Online Edition's visual options. I feel it's not perfect because the brightness is a little off, but like the scan line and CRT filter on that are
good.
Quite high quality. And look pretty damn close to what it's supposed to look like.
It's a lot better than like 15 years ago where every collection had like the worst.
So that's exactly where I was going is like when you push
Marvel
it to
the Marvel vs. Capcom Origins collection.
Earlier than that.
Earlier?
KOF 94 Rebout.
Oh my god. Those softening filters are the absolute worst.
Yeah, blur filters.
The SNK ones were the worst.
Back when people were like, pixels are awful. Let's hide them.
Let's just blur it up to garbage.
And it got fucking just, it looked like barf sprites.
I can't.
It was real bad.
I've never seen one of those barf filters sprites that I liked ever. I remember back when I downloaded and played Mega Man X on the ZSS NES, which is where I played X the first time. And I was like, I'm going to fuck around with these filters. Oh, look at the Super Eagle filter and the 2XI filter. I'm like, oh, it makes it a little smoother. But it looks like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, fucking, I don't know, like,
but that
15.
Was, but that was the era, that was the age when to convince your friends that, no, these sprites are still cool, though, that you'd have to basically hide your pixels in shame. You know,
it's
pixels were shameful things
like
for a couple years.
Tried to make them uncool for a bit by itself.
And then thankfully,
it came back.
People who got jobs were people who grew up playing pixel games and
games.
And like, the art style continued to be a relevant thing, but it's just.
Like
at some point, pixel games point back and it says, like, I lived, bitch. And just.
I fucking.
Yes. But there were kids that you went to school with that bought into it, that were fucking shitting on anything that was Tommy Tallarico on Electric Playground looked at CVS2 and said, these old busted sprites need to go away.
You need to be like Tekken.
You need to get with the times. It wasn't just the industry. It was like fucking people like him.
Not only that, he made sure to shit on the music. I remember a specific review where he didn't make it, but he's like, this cheesy, shitty Japanese guitars, man, they need to like get with it. You need a orchestra. That's the only way music can be.
It said something like,
there's
like
a lot of Electric Playground reviews that they scrub from history because they know nowadays they're so embarrassing.
It reminds me of shit like Cliffy B explaining, you know, survival horror is just like publishers, they won't do it because those games suck and they'll just trade it back in. There's no future for survival horror.
Awesome.
There's no future for horror.
That's awesome.
It's
when
like, thanks, Cliffy.
He ripped off RE4?
Hey, we forgot a news article.
What?
Cliffy B retired from games.
I thought he did that already.
Yeah, he did it again.
Oh.
No, I distinctly remember hearing this like months ago.
He replied to some guy trolling his shit on Twitter and was like, man, whatever, I'm done with games, I'm quitting. And when he was reached for comment, like, did you just announce that you were quitting in response to some troll? And he's like, whatever, man, I'm done.
That just sounds like a flight of fancy.
I will quote my friend Jim, who perfectly summed up my thoughts on Cliffy B. Cliffy, it's not your fault you don't know how to make games that people want to play anymore. You just suck.
A Twitter
now.
Troll created a new account just to bait Cliff. You won't refund players who stuck with you all and spent money for you all to keep up the content. Now all that money is wasted. Cliffy B says, I paid my employees, their 401ks, their health care, even months after the studio folded, so they could care for their families. I didn't take a salary for myself for 2 years. I get you're sad, but God, this is the kind of shit. This kind of shit is another reason why I'm never making another game.
I have a follow-up to this, because a former employee of Clifford Blazinski...
I was about to say, like, that. Where's the receipts?
...replied to this statement going, huh, months, huh? My severance ran out after 3 weeks... These months must be getting longer and longer. And Cliffy B responds with, yeah, maybe I exaggerated, but I'd like to think I did the right thing. Like, that's not how that works, jackass! You lied! You're wrong!
Go to Cliffy's base Twitter page. Let me just... Okay, so he has 632,000 followers. You'd think he's like, maybe no one will notice if I say this ludicrous claim. It's not like you're an obscure person. People are going to notice if you say shit.
Hey, maybe I was wrong about how much I paid my employees after I fired them by telling them that they were fired on social media. But I'd like to think I did. I bet you would like to think you did the right thing, you jackass.
What's coming up?
What's coming out? We have finished one Call of Cthulhu.
We have finished Call of Cthulhu.
All done. Man, the middle of that game is not super good, but the end of it is pretty good.
There was, you know what? It's, I guess then it's irrelevant now, but an email did come in that
from Cliffy B?
No, but from the QA lead on Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was some tips for the skill system and CP and stuff.
Well, it didn't seem to really matter.
That's the main issue with the middle of the game is that all the gameplay parts seem to just kind of fall away.
Sorry, Oswaldo, but it's cool that you
reached
out.
Yo, hit us up on Twitter, man. I'm curious.
But so that's done, and we, are wetting our feet in the world of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Getting deep in there. You guys are... wetting your feet in the world of hats and fedoras or lack thereof. Sorry, trilbies or lack thereof.
So, Wooly, yeah, I told him about the trilbies. So, Wooly, you know the part where Dante slaps the can out of the big fat guy's hand?
Yep.
I didn't even catch it. And I didn't catch it until people told us they were excited for our reaction, and we totally didn't even notice the guy's wearing a giant 5 on his shirt.
I didn't see that.
And wow. Dante slaps the can out of his hand.
That's hilarious.
And it's like, ah.
In the beginning, I didn't realize. I
mean, would that be a thing back then? Now it's like, haha, there's a Devil May Cry 5. But were people noticing this when that game came out?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't realize that the fucking. That line in the intro
about pulling the world by the hair and
because I remember cringing at that the first time, and then I didn't realize they edited it.
Yeah, it's gone.
So we just kept talking.
It's just gone.
And I was going to react to it, and then I had a moment of like, wait, what?
So,
I thought,
so
wasn't there something there?
Yeah. So me and Wooly did not know they edited some lines out. They edited the trilby out.
Okay,
and they also
like the world is your you know. So in the beginning,
I said this to you guys. You're like, oh, they edited out the fedora. I'm like, they edited that out.
Yes.
And I go, what about Not in a Million Years? And you're like, no, that's still in. I'm like, how is that still in? If you're that much of a coward that you'd edit out the fucking hat, how did you not add out the most insulting thing? What's wrong with you?
It's the back down version, but you know.
But you didn't really back down.
Like
you thought about it.
In the beginning, the girl says, the world is your bitch, Mundus, and so am I. All that's left to do is to grab it by the hair, bend her over, and what? What's the matter?
They just cut that out.
They super
so
did.
Bad.
I can't believe they didn't add out Not
it's
a Million.
So...
Do you know why? Because they knew
Oh my God. Oh my God, you asshole.
Oh boy.
They knew people would notice the Not in a Million Years, but they kind of thought they'd get away with editing.
It's signature. It's too signature at this point. You know?
It's that game's atmosphere.
Yeah.
So it's we all played Devil May Cry DMC Reboot. And we'll get to this in more detail in the LP. But you know when Virgil does that outrageous fucking thing out of nowhere?
Yeah.
And it's never addressed? They added a couple lines where he explains why he had to do it.
That's fine.
And you know what the explanation is?
Well,
I had to do it, man.
Okay, then that's less fine.
Yeah. So DMC Devil May Cry continues. And never change, Sora. Promise me you'll never change.
Damn, I haven't heard you laugh that hard in a little while.
That continues as well.
Oh, man. That game's a fucking...
We have to make sure when we finish Agrabah to go back to Agrabah.
Yeah,
there's
I know.
There's someone that was that, very that insistent game, yes, on that.
I saw that too.
I'm just thinking about DMC as like this time capsule. It's so perfect. Let's see. Hey, Wooly, what's coming up on Wooly versus...
Well... So as you saw this week, Fighterpedia is back. It relaunched. The HD remaster is out. So those are going to be...
Lots of things have been edited and changed.
Yes. And well, I mean, in some episodes
you
and others.
You were wearing a fedora during the recording of all these and now made sure to take it out.
Edited that fedora right out of the audio. You'll, you know.
Oh, you'll never hear it rustle again.
So those are going to be dropping when they're ready, you know. Episodes are going to go. And, yeah, the ones that are no longer available on Machinima or whatever will just be no longer available. So, you know, that's one of the main things is like, hey, let's have a working upload of this somewhere. So, yep, that'll continue. Probably going to stream... depending on whether I'm free, looks like either Tuesday or Thursday. I'll see. Mm-hmm. So that will be a thing. And yeah, there will be the results of the near playthrough too, because
the results,
the cleanup, the cleanup session, still is going to be coming out as well, because that needs to occur. And like, even though I've hit the proper credits and whatnot, there's the little bits and pieces and trail ends that needs to be wrapped up. So, yeah, stay tuned for all of that over at Wooly Versus and twitch.tv/WoolyVersus.
Matt, what's going on over at Matt McMuscles? Are you still doing that Nekopara playthrough?
No.
What happened with
someone
that?
Someone gave me the idea of put in part one, but then back down. Put in part one as a thing to make people go, oh my God, are you serious? But I only recorded one episode.
Because that's totally the reaction I had, where somebody's like, hey, did you see Matt change the thumbnail on his Nekopara? And all I could think of is like, what the fuck did you see in that game that made you go, all right, I'm not
I didn't even, where I actually stopped, I didn't even, like, I thought it was just like a cringy date, like dating sim.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that there was even, because I watched the first episode of Taka and Zito's LP of it like a year ago when they started that. And I was like, oh, okay, it's just some cringy thing. And I'm like, yeah, I'll give that a go. And I just stopped where I was like, this isn't even, I have nothing much to say about this because it just goes on.
That is
and
the
on
hardest back down I've ever heard.
Yeah, you planned to back down. That's
yeah,
a
it was
level.
A planned back down. Yeah. But
you still got the click, though.
Yeah.
The click down.
What's happening is that I mentioned I played some D&D, and what I meant by that is that I played D&D Tactics for the PSP.
Oh my fucking
God. A game that I spent a good year and a half testing. So that will be a bug report, and I mentioned I played Killer 7 a little bit.
I can't believe you actually played that D&D PSP game.
I worked on it.
I know.
My name is
I know.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, and also I'll be uploading a video of that Killer 7 Steam version. And I have a code to give away for the game as well during that, so be on the lookout for that.
All right. Over at, what's the name of my channel? twitch.tv/angryspat. I'll be streaming a couple times this week. I don't know what. Maybe, I had the random urge to just play a shit ton of Dark Souls, but it could be anything. I don't know. Probably later tonight, Paige is also going to be streaming over at twitch.tv/PeachSaliva. Probably going to be FF4. Hassling her about getting Yang off the floor this morning.
And if you were getting urges off of Castlevania, I would have assumed you'd go to Bloodborne instead.
You would think, right? But yeah. But instead, I was like, because I streamed Dark Souls 3 about a year and a half ago, maybe, and I streamed it for a couple hours, and then I don't know if I told you what happened, where I was playing online, and then I went to summon somebody. And the summon person went invisible and then backstabbed me somehow. And all my gear exploded. And then, like, they left. And I think my game got all fucked up. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm, all right. Great. No thanks. And that kind of killed that. So I kind of want to go back to it and do it over.
After I finished Castlevania Season 2, I just backed out on my Xbox and it went to the games that are installed. And I forgot I installed Mirror of Fate HD.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Oh, that has Trevor. That has Alucard. Why don't I boot that up again?
Not quite.
It has both named characters. So I booted it up and like I was like, oh, yeah, this opening cutscene is really – oh, I'm controlling the characters now. Oh, I'm stopping playing right now then. Because that's how that feels. I forgot that it was – that could have been fine, but the fact they tried to meld Lords of Shadow whipping controls into 2D is just like – it's just
– it was a real feels. I remember playing the demo and just be like, oh, I think like right away.
I think the story of that is really neat. In that, how it ties into the other games, I'll always say that the story of that as a rebooted universe is kind of cool. But other than that, I'm like, oh, I forgot why I stopped playing this. This is why, because I'm playing it. So,
y'all motherfuckers see the part 5 torture dance?
Hell yeah, we did.
I saw a couple of variants
that,
on it.
I saw.
Wasn't it great?
The first version that I saw was the one with the Fortnite dance music, which is what they should have used in the anime.
The Kirby theme was also
That was apropos. Perfect. That was perfect.
I said it on stream, but it's kind of insane how they actually noted that this is at meme status.
They expanded on that. Enormously.
They knew how much people loved those three panels, and the games doing the animation was not doing it justice.
It wasn't enough.
Because we're like, how do you get these moves, these three weird poses, to link together? And they fucking did it in this ridiculous Janet Jackson-esque moment of a
huge
full choreography.
Musical act.
Yeah.
It's a fucking amazing.
Yeah, they did good. That was good.
Well, not just that, but they even planned the episode structure around the dance.
Well, here it comes.
Because
week it's gonna happen.
The week before it ends like
right before
three panels
right
before the dance.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you motherfucker.
They 100 exactly. Then and it's also like the biggest takeaway from the entire part outside of your bad guy power memes.
Yeah.
Is your dance. It's the most iconic thing from the entire part.
These guys are fucking gonzo. They're like, yes, they're bizarre, but no, these guys are also idiots.
They're also insane crime children.
Yeah.
So,
well, the whole part of that, it's like, it's actually kind of subtly horrific because he's like, scorch your eyeball till you talk to the man who can't speak.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Mister, chill, man.
Nah, never chill. Mister will never chill. Yeah. Put that fucking dance in Fortnite. Leave Turk alone. How about that?
No, it's too late.
Yeah, it is.
Turk is Fortnite.
Turk is Fortnite. But make JoJo Fortnite.
Yeah.
And then make the kids all learn to do that fucking crazy dance and put that in there and then have the kids breaking their arms and legs trying to do the crazy lean into the twist, into the zombie back.
I like the idea
back.
Of children hurting themselves trying to JoJo.
Yeah, I love it. I really do. And I think this is the future.
Oh, we got another JoJo-related, like, huge...
No, fucking... Billy, don't look. It's too late, mother. Nope. I've already injured myself trying to do the torture dance.
No, child, your back can't take it. You know how it is. All right, later, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Give me. belong to me.